3, 2, 1, go. Sick.
There you go. We did it.
Gotta actually get the actual word.
Yeah, we gotta work on that.
It was go, sink, and mark.
I only use the numbers, so it
I watched a lot of Battlestar Galactica, so I say mark.
It's like...
What a nerd.
It's not that bad.
we just look like amateurs to ourselves.
Yeah.
No, we looked like amateurs last week when we fucking didn't record the first 10 minutes of talking to Guy Sihi.
It wasn't ten minutes. It was like
30 four and a half. Seconds.
I know it was like thirty seconds because I edited it. Fine. It's fine. No one's gonna hear it. It's gonna be okay.
It's just
like, people will hear it. One day you'll accidentally put it up and we'll look like total amateurs.
How in the editing process
will I keep in the countdown really for our Skype sync?
Keep the Skype sync test in. The nature, like, to order to even sync it up, he's got to cut the end and the beginning of the podcast off. How would he know to cut it,
unless,
but only before the sync?
Unless I intentionally leave it in. Like, in the fucking MK Armageddon and BioFreaks parts where we're doing shit all,
yeah,
and you're going, oh man, Wooly, you should cut this out. And I actually turn the volume up louder.
That's what you do. The only reason I can see Wooly leaving that stuff in is in the scenario where he has to upload the podcast and edit it, but there's a guy with a gun to his head, and there's a bomb, and there's someone beneath the table
giving me a blowjob at the same time.
And you're just like, there's no time to get rid of the sink. I have to find the worm cluster.
I have to upload the podcast while John Travolta stares at me.
I bet Swordfish aged really poorly.
I bet you it aged really well.
Like,
That's going to take a Let's Watch to find out.
It's just the absolute zenith of, like, magic hackering.
It is a miracle that the Criterion Collection hasn't come out for it yet.
It's like this really nice white packaging with just says Swordfish, and there's just a picture of two boobs.
Yeah.
Below.
Yeah. Get a fucking Mondo poster for that shit. Oh,
yeah.
No. No.
Anyway,
I got some news that'll blow your mind later. That because you said Mondo poster, I'll keep that.
I got some stuff too.
I got some stuff too.
I will not forget it, sir.
But we rolling. We rolling with a very, very special episode of the Super Best Friendcast this week, you guys.
Sponsored by Sapo.
No gods, no kings, only Sapo.
So, Liam, first of all, you're in Mexico, right?
¿Cómo estás, mi amigos?
Were you watching the stream last night in Mexico?
No, what happened?
Okay. Oh my god, I'm so happy that we get to relay the news to you.
Let Wooly tell it.
You tell it. You were there right
at
the beginning.
So last night, a certain Maximilian, Miles923...
And the cast of Yo Video Games...
jumped on Twitch and said, yo, best friends, we're fucking doing it.
Oh.
And they booted up BioFreaks, they put it on freak difficulty, and just went in. They booted, like, the first thing they started the stream with is the sickest fucking ECW style promo where Max is sitting in the darkness.
Clearly went on like a Tumblr page and just grabbed the first photos of us he could find.
And
Max is there in the darkness going like, you know, something dark has happened this week. Four dear friends that I had have been taken over, corrupted
by the evil
of BioFreaks, you know, and these paramount examples of men have been corrupted, and it's up to us to save them, you guys.
Yeah.
So this special boss rage is dedicated to these four souls. We're coming to save you guys.
Oh,
and it
sick.
Just goes through the dumb clips of us calling them out all drunken and stupid. and then it shows, like, Pat's thing, like, why are you so scared, Max? Why are you so scared?
Like, a picture of my face just in red and the square is shaking around.
I said scared. Pat said you're all cowards.
Why are you such a huge coward, Max?
Yeah, I fucking lost it. It was so good.
And they lost, right?
So what time did that stream start?
We'll get there.
It started
at like maybe, like, for them, I think it was like 9.
For us, it was midnight.
Yeah.
Okay. It was near midnight. Because
we're in the future.
Yeah.
And the thing is, for me too, is like, I'm switching internet providers, so I'm currently like on the day that I don't have internet right now.
This goes down.
So I fucking hear this shit's going down. I'm like, fuck. I grab my phone and just start tethering Twitch.
It's the most extreme solution possible.
Because I need to know what's happening. And they jump in there, and like for at least 2 hours, if not three, they did not get a round.
Off
Liam.
The first try
on the hardest difficulty,
on the
right? Yeah.
Not even a round.
Now, wow. Yeah.
This is due to two reasons.
Wow.
One being that it was on the hardest difficulty, and B being that BioFreaks is rancid garbage.
It's,
that is hard to play.
You can't like, control it.
Like, yeah. Max has been doing boss rushes for a while, and there have been a lot of them that take multiple attempts. And he'll get a little salty, but he's pretty good on stream about, like, maintaining his composure and being on and being like, hey, guys, let's do it. Thanks, subscribe. Woo-woo. But this shit...
Cut to the fucking bone,
like,
to the marrow.
Like, me and Wooly were talking about it very briefly in the stream chat. This reminds me of when we went to PAX Prime and we wanted to do a Sneak King for, like, live in front of people. Yeah. And we realized live, oh god, this game has nothing. There's nothing here. So just stall. Just say anything.
I don't know. I think the concept that underneath Sneak King's helmet, it's Fred Durst, was pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
But that can only carry us so far.
But you know that place that we go to, Liam, when we play a game, we start to like have, we try to have enthusiasm, and then we die.
Yeah.
But then we come back from the dead because we don't give a fuck anymore.
Max and crew went through two full cycles
of that. They got to that place.
So they were just meta dead. Like, they were super gone.
It was unbelievable to watch.
So, I've never seen Max get so frustrated that he actually hit the point of, I'm on stream, I'm not talking, I have anger face on, and every time he dies, it's bullshit, I can't see the camera, there's fucking controls.
But surely... He gets around it. He gets another round.
He gets his round.
He passes off the controller.
No, but he then, there was an accident, and they accidentally quit out of the second guy, and they had to go back to the first again and start the ladder again.
Well, they went to training to go practice some moves actually.
Yeah.
So that could quit them out of the set. But so,
during this dark segment where they're just like, oh, geez, we can just barely do this, I kicked in $50 and I just said, this is for the hospital bills
when
this is over. And the man's like, oh, God, oh, shit. And then everyone started donating, like, oh, just you can do it, you can do it, you can do it.
And throughout the night, BioFreaks is climbing the Twitch front page.
Yeah.
World of Warcraft, goodbye. StarCraft, get out of here.
BioFreaks making its way up to the top 10. Right?
This is probably the best possible result to that challenge.
I tweeted, I took a picture of that, circled BioFreaks and said, this is why we do what we do!
And every single time the guys looked, they were about to just die, someone would realize, like, oh, we should just throw money at them so that they can't stop!
After like a crushing defeat, it was always funny when there was silence and it goes, oh god! And then it goes, you lose! Then you just hear, like,
Ultra Combo!
As someone became a subscriber.
Yeah.
Or you got the touch as someone donated some cash.
So, like, you know, I posted on all of our feeds and on the official
thing. There's a moment where I was not aware at the beginning and my phone just starts to explode.
Yeah, I'm like
what is happening? Oh!
Point your hands at the earth to steal Max's energy. You know? and so it's going on, but they're slowly getting the game in, another game in. They got a combo down, and then
The two things was that 10-hit string.
The 10-hit string
and the mutilator.
It took them a while, but they finally learned about the instant kill.
I was trying to get that information across to them. I was going, it's F back right punch, and they couldn't see it, and I was not modded yet, so I kicked in like $5 so the message would appear, I just wrote my username was F back right punch.
Yeah.
For that fucking head kill.
At that point, like, for me, I was loud sweating, like, fuck, they're actually getting in there.
But I knew like when they could get here, but you can't do that shit on the boss. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And
so what we had was this really drawn out beginning And then
let's say the, 2.5 hours, 3 hours to get to mutilator.
And then over the course of like about an hour and a half or so, everyone else in the cast, they went from two all the way to the final boss, just making it, figuring out the strategy, countering, learning the spacing on the matches.
They did it.
It was nuts. And then they get to mutilator and fucking how many hours?
Okay, so I started watching for around, God, I want to say
like... hours? They spent hours on that boss.
I started watching
right
after they got to mutilator, and there were like 4 hours of stream after that.
No, dude, like I was tethering for the entire night. Like, it was nuts. And
the brickiest brick wall. Like, you're ever
not
seen. Like,
and the reason why is because when we did it, mutilator does not use her shield. It's a girl,
apparently. And of course, we're like, yo, we played on novice. Like, this was not at all expecting them to go on freak difficulty. But that's the point of boss course, rage, you know. And so like the matches where they don't get perfected are noteworthy. Right? That's how it was going.
Like, there was an hour where I didn't think that Max hit the boss once.
And then you saw a couple rounds where Steve started getting some hits in, and they were laying it out and figuring shit out, and it's like, okay, if you stay in the water, but not too long, because then the piranhas rip your arms off.
And then you can't use your projectiles.
But you have to keep jumping, but the water creates enough distance to dodge them.
And
oh,
everyone's
my God.
Telling Max for like 2 hours, dude, just switch your character.
And Max is not having any of it. Max is like, everyone's backseat gaming, I don't want to hear shit. He was getting super salt. The saltiest.
I started doing really crazy strategies. I looked up the gameplay designer of BioFreaks, Dave Simmons or something, and tried to see if he's on Twitter. And if he is he on? And
yeah.
Dude, what is the strat for fucking mutilator?
And the response would have come back if you got
What's
in touch with
BioFreaks?
Why?
You know, like. Filthy Rich jumped in the stream.
Blowing up the internet, sir.
And then once or twice he switched from the main guy
Bullseye.
From Bullseye to Sapo, the big green dumb freak.
Right.
The last
yeah.
Battletoad.
At which point we started creating the lore.
Face.
Right. We're like, hey guys, it's me, Sapo.
Well, Kenny was doing this really hilarious voice because Sapo's like entrance animation is him waving to the crowd, going like, whoa,
yeah. So it was like we just started rolling with that as the lore, and then just out of nowhere, one magic game, one magic moment. Because
they
round.
Discovered that Sapo has a move that ignores shields.
He fucking
oh wow,
did it. He just fucking got in there
and he
took it all the way through.
And then I think Steve was going nuts. It's like you blew 2 hours because you were too stubborn
to switch characters. And so and like right before that, at that point, like Matt's like, yo. $100 for your suffering. And then I threw in $100. I'm so sorry, Max. And then Pat throws in $100. Like,
the $100 I threw in because they looked like they were 10 minutes from giving up.
Yeah.
Right? If I throw $100 when they're at that point, they're like, well, we can't quit for like another hour at least, right?
Yeah, of course.
We all threw in money to just prolong Max's suffering. While also apologizing horribly, because, man, he was turning
hollow. Mine wasn't an apology.
He was turning hollow,
like like, Max is so nice. When he reads the donation messages, he reads them in a nice voice.
Yeah.
But the message I wrote was not intended to be meant, like, encouraging. It was, hey, you guys look pretty tired. I hope you don't give up. You can't back down now. But he read
but he
it
he read
like,
it all nicely.
Well,
yeah.
You guys look pretty tired. You can't back down now.
The cadence
it's like, no.
doesn't get yeah. across.
No, because I was being a sarcastic
ass. Hey, guys, remember when this was a good idea?
No, it wasn't.
So, if you get the chance to check out that stream,
I would love to skip through that. I'm kind of disappointed I missed it.
Yeah, all the hashtags are just Sapo means life.
Sapo
the god. Sapo boys.
So,
dude, I feel like I missed so much in one day.
So what we've discovered is
I feel like I've been away for a month now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Right? What we've discovered is that Max, like I was talking about this on Twitter. See, the mistake that Max and the guy and Steve and Kenny and those guys have is that they have self-respect.
Uh-huh.
And when we called them cowards, they had enough self-respect to go, I'm not a coward. I'll show you I'm not a coward. I'm going to do this. See, that's a huge mistake. Mm-hmm. You should have just been like, yeah, no, we're cowards. We're not going to be biofreaks on Moshras.
That's okay.
So what we
we're cowards too.
So now we know that they'll rise to dumb bait.
We can do almost anything to
them.
So
I know of another boss.
Stop it.
In Cardinal Sin, which is a giant dragon.
We can't destroy these men's lives.
I don't know.
We have to wait like a couple weeks.
Yeah, a couple weeks at least.
We have to wait until Max has edited this video and put it up.
Yeah.
Which I was laughing at him so hard in the stream, like, this is like a 6.5 hour stream. You're gonna cut down to like a 12 minute boss rush video.
But yo, they saved video games last night.
It's like 150 failed attempts.
I'm glad someone saved it.
When that video goes up, like the edited boss rush YouTube, like he ranks all the bosses, and the idea that Shadow Jago is a 9, that he reads your inputs. It cheats. Like Keats has said, you looked at the AI that they put in for Shadow Jago, it's a machine.
Yeah.
It's Skynet. And the reason why Mutilator is such, because the game is just bad. It's just poorly designed. That's
the
difference. But
the real final boss was the camera lead.
And the controls.
Right.
Like, it's got to be an 11 out of 10 difficulty.
Yeah.
This was only the first guy we challenged for Biofreaks.
Oh, no.
Oh, jeez.
Like, I'm pretty sure Yo! Video Games are, like, the only people, possibly outside of the development team, that have ever done this. Like, certainly the only ones on video.
Our dumb challenges, though, are getting to people because it sounds, I'm not sure yet, but it sounds like Boku no Eruption might take a look at a certain 99 dragon.
Okay.
Really?
So remember our dumb
call-outs are fucking landing on ears.
Everyone, when we're calling out everybody for Dragon the 99 Dragons, like, everyone's too much of a coward? Like, the day that went up, within 5 minutes, somebody linked me to Pro Jared's full review of the game, where he beats the game.
Shit.
But that doesn't
from
count.
From, like, 3.5 years ago.
Yeah, that doesn't count, though, because it's 3.5 hours. He wouldn't do it again.
No, he looked like he was going to die at the end of that review.
So, that's
pretty fucking incredible. I'm, like, shocked that they did it, and I'm kind of disappointed that they succeeded.
Yeah, it's a win-win for us either way.
Like, yeah, definitely.
My favorite part...
We lost money, but fuck you.
My favorite part is that Sappo's ending is broken.
What?
Like his text crawl at the end does not finish his ending.
Well, you can't read it in time.
No, but I read it all the way, and the second page, it doesn't end the sentence.
Oh, jeez.
Man, I love living in Neo-America.
It's pretty good.
It's the best.
But what... We need to hear a story of once upon a time in Mexico.
Yeah, what's happening in Mexico?
The other day I woke up and I was accidentally in Mexico. It was a good time.
That's how it happens.
I'm in Mexico now. I'm in fake Mexico. So, like, I'm near Cancun.
Mexico.
Oh, the safe parts.
Resort Mexico.
Yeah, exactly. I'm at a place called Akumal, which is near Cancun.
Akuma.
And we're staying... Yeah, Akuma, exactly. And we rented a little house down, like, on the beach. I think it's, like, maybe 20 yards to the water. Like, it's right behind me. I can just look at it. It's pretty nice. It's gorgeous. It's, like, what, minus 20 in Montreal? Yeah, fuck you. It's 28
it's
over here.
It's only minus 3 right now, actually.
Oh,
did
lucky
you. Did
you
find any ledges that you could rooster uppercut to?
I've been looking around, like, all around, just thinking of Guacamelee. And I've been...
I'm just gonna go ahead and
spoil it and say something dumb. I've been desperately looking for something to take a picture of and just subtitle it "A Weapon to Surpass Metal Gear," but I can't find anything funny enough for it.
What you should be doing, Liam, is do a live action video you of total overdosing a gunslinger's tale in Mexico.
Total overdose? I know that game. That's the one with the spicy moves.
Yeah. You need to be jump kicking off shit and chaining combo. Like,
God, is that just like Sunset Overdrive, but like 10 years ago?
No,
it's the club.
Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly.
Not the club.
So I've been here for a few days, and I'm leaving on Sunday. So far, it's really nice.
Okay.
I can't say I've done a whole lot. I went downtown to, like, you know, L Taco Shop, L Walmart, you know, the works, right? Otherwise, like, I honestly haven't done much in Mexico because I've only been here for, like, a bit over a day at this point. So just getting into it, really. But I did do some stuff in Canada Land before I left. I finally finished Criminal Girls all the way.
I can't. Not done. A third time. I can't take the
title. Hey, let me ask you. How does the Criminal Girls value proposition relate to the Orders?
It's about 60 hours long, so good value.
Wow!
Very good value out of this game.
Wow!
And I mean, it's not absolute horse shit either. Like, obviously, it's no Dragon Quest, but it's better than Neptunia.
Like,
so,
for fuck's sake, Matt is going to sit there and say, I don't have time for long RPGs, and that's fine when I'm playing through Baldur's Gate 2. But Liam, you apparently find time for stuff that you will describe as not absolute horse shit.
I wanted to play thread last week. We need to know how this concludes.
It was pretty good. It ends. You go to space. No, you go to space and you fight space boss. It's cool.
What?
That's it. Yeah.
Is the space boss a criminal?
No, you're the criminal. You're fighting your way out of hell. It's pretty cool.
Okay.
That's an all right game. If you're thinking of getting a Neptunia game, don't get this instead. And I played,
I got a movie for you, Liam. It's called Caged Heat.
Caged Heat, huh?
Caged Heat, yeah.
I'll give it a glance. Give it a sidewards glance.
You might like a show called Oz, Liam.
I don't know. I finished episode 1 of Resident Evil Revelations 2. Did you guys play that yet?
Yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
What did you think of episode 1?
I think it was way better than I expected.
Me too.
I thought it was great. Yeah, I had a super good time with it, and I've been playing a lot of the raid mode, which is like way improved over the first Revelations raid mode. It's still not quite Mercenaries. Like, they've taken away the skill-based gameplay and replaced it with just, you know, RPG mechanics, so you can kind of just grind your way through it. But it's really enjoyable, and yeah, like, Revelations and Rev 2 are, like, arguably better than RE5 and 6, like, with the exception.
I say Revelations 2, so far, is way better than 1.
Than the first Revelations?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, without a doubt.
The co-op stuff works really, really well.
Yeah,
well, when I was playing through it, I was shocked at how well the co-op stuff worked, even in single player, and I was just thinking to myself, man, these guys are lucky that they're going to get to play it together.
Hey, can I ask you a question? In single player, when Ingrid, or whatever her name is, marks a character, marks an enemy.
Natalia.
Mm. When you switch back to Barry, is that enemy marked on his vision?
No, they're not glowing. So you just kind of have to look at them and remember which limb is the problem limb and then gun it down.
Yeah, you switch to her, then you like, all right, it's his head. Switch back to Barry.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. They do some cool stuff with the AI, too, where like the AI does not fire its gun, so it doesn't waste ammo at all. But there's a skill you can buy in the SP shop that makes the AI fire without actually using ammo.
It doesn't use ammo?
It doesn't use ammo, but they're lower powered shots.
I guess for single player it makes sense to have it.
Yeah, exactly. So like, it is a million miles better than Chris and Sheva ever was. Like, it's great.
Yeah, because remember it's that door stuff? Remember in RE5, it's like, hey, I can't open this door, I'm waiting for you. And in Rev 2,
you hit the door and you just
snap into it, which is, it breaks gameplay logic, but who cares, it's better.
Yeah. In co-op, does it snap the other player to it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just teleport into the door opening animation.
So if you're a real asshole, you just, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about episodic RE?
I feel that episodic RE, when it's all made and they're like, it's out next week, fuckers, is a good idea.
I think it's perfect because, like, ever since RE5, it's had a very, like... No, even RE4 had, like, a chapter system, and it was a very, like, strict chapter system.
Yeah,
exactly. And the first Revelations was episodic anyway, like, in that it was made to ape after, like, how TV shows worked.
Yeah.
And each chapter had a next time on Resident Evil Revelations.
That's true, that's
which
true.
Which was really weird because that game didn't come out in episodes.
No. Yeah. It was made like that so you could play it on the Metro real quick, right? In Japan. So, but no, episodic fucking works, yeah.
It's kind of weird that they even decided to do this, because the game's all done and completed. It's not like it's going to take 3 months for each episode. So I guess they're just trying at the episodic format to see if to see if it makes more money than single $60 game releases, because it, since it's all done and it's just a week apart, it's like, why even try it? Well, try it just to try it. See if people will buy it.
And I thought that, like, you know, when I heard about this since episodic, like, the worry of, like, an episodic Resident Evil release is very simple. It's like you're afraid that the levels are going to be really, really, really small and really, really linear. And they use their budget, well, for episode one at least, really smart because they made two big levels. And you kind of go, and like, the level, the main prison level in this game is more complex than almost every level in RE5. Whereas RE5 is a straight shot. Like, it looks like a
more area, or less. There's battle arenas, but yeah, more or less.
Whereas this game,
yeah,
actually, you're running around in a zone and opening shit up.
Well,
and
just like the first Revelations, right? On the boat. Like the Queen Zenobia.
The thing I was saying to Patrick is that this game really seemed to take every failed co-op mechanic and partner thing from every Resident Evil game and makes it all cohesive, makes it work. Like, it's the Chris returns to Rockford Island, and things are different for him than Claire's campaign in Resident Evil Code Veronica. It takes the partner swapping from RE0, and then it takes the just general partner system from RE5 and 6.
All systems.
Six definitely improved
work.
It a lot, but this is another level. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. That being said, it's like, RE7, no co-op this time, maybe.
Please.
Maybe just a raid mode, maybe like an online thing, like, but the actual single player, just as it, because it's like the last.
But
casually,
that franchise is becoming known for being a co-op.
Yeah, I don't think they'll ditch it, but if the co-op's as good as it is in this game, I don't think I'll be upset either.
Yeah, I'm just like, now
it's
evolved, you're not crazy.
It's evolved into a new identity,
right? Mm-hmm. But like, I miss the old one.
Of course.
And that's
there's
fair.
Almost more partner games than there are not.
If you count Zero or more.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can tell you for sure that, like, Rev 2, playing it in single player, doesn't really feel like a partner game. Like, it's so well done, and the fact that your partner always sticks super close to you and changing between them takes, like, a second. They really nailed it. They really hit it out of the park with this one.
Also, on principle, co-op is a dying thing in general, so it's like...
Yeah, local co-op.
It's actually coming back super hard. Like, every game has co-op now.
But not local.
Yeah.
Not local, true enough.
Yeah.
The only thing that sours me on this game is, like, the weird PS4 performance issues and the fact that they took split-screen co-op out of the PC release at the last fucking second.
Yeah, definitely the split-screen thing on the PC, I heard about that and I was like, okay, that's kind of garbage.
The store page still says that it has local co-op.
Yeah, no, clearly the marketing guys weren't talking with the programmers or something.
Capcom can't
the PS4 the PS4 performance thing, I found it funny because I played through the whole thing and I thought it was great and I was like, wow, that ran great and everything. And I saw it and I was like, oh, it's not as good as that version.
The only the only area where it's even noticeable is the forest at the end of Barry's thing.
Yeah,
and even then, like, it didn't even feel like terrible. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah.
It was good. Even though it has performance issues, it's like, yeah, it's still good though.
So, yeah,
when you're on the rocks, like really on the rocks with Barry on the start, and then when we go into the prison, as soon as that happened, the frame rate just went up like at least twice.
Yeah, interiors for sure. Yeah,
that game actually has a revelation at the end of the first episode.
I was gonna say
revelation.
I love the stupid plot twist at the end of the episode, but like, it is almost the same twist that the first Revelations did. I don't want to say what it was.
You're right.
I liked it though. It's super cute and stuff. So
my only thing with the game is like, minor nitpick is just like, I think we really notice it when you pick up a note. Is that just the front end and UI is just the most bare bones thing?
Yeah.
Like, when you pick up a note, it's not like a detailed texture of a note with the text overlaid. Like, it's just a black screen with text.
The computer text.
Yeah, just computer text. So there's, like, little things like that, but I assume it's just time and budget.
And I hope that this game's tone is something that they replicate in RE7, because, like, they did the thing in this game where they didn't try and ignore the fact that all the games have weird different tones, and they just merged it so that Barry is like a weird old man who says stupid shit all the time. And his daughter's like, oh!
Hate him.
Hate you, Dad.
Dad's jokes are so bad.
Yeah, yeah. What did you think of the little, like, quips and cheesy dialogue? Like, I think this was the best it's been in a few games.
Yes.
Yeah, because it was self-aware, too, more than
Like, Moira makes sense once you play as Barry.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, Moist Barrel of Cox, like, brings you out of it, and you're like, what? But then you start to see Barry's, like, absurd dialogue, and you're like, okay.
Yeah, and you kind of get over it, yeah.
I really like Moira's line, though, when you leave the prison. She goes, this place can fuck right off, thank you very much. Because it's like, literally, that's where that attitude actually comes into play. When you actually leave, and you're like, fuck that place, I'm done.
Yeah,
that
totally.
That was where
totally.
It felt appropriate.
I'm gonna close off my week. Just one last thing on Revelations I want to say real quick. You were saying, Matt, like, why release it episodically? Like, it's a good experiment and stuff. The other advantage of episodic release is if you're confident in the quality of your title and the quality is high, you get a free 5 weeks of marketing out of this. From people playing the game,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, you're
like, we're going to be talking about it for weeks. Everybody is, because it's good, so.
And the talk isn't, hey, guys, Life is Strange got fucking delayed.
Did it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got super delayed.
It did, unfortunately.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was looking forward to more terrible dialogue.
Oh, yeah, I bet you were.
Same. Yeah, well, Revelations 2 is there for you.
But if you can make more dumb Spirits Within references that I can point and laugh at.
I love how, like, Moira and whatever the fucking characters in Life is Strange are, like, clearly supposed to be written the same. And Moira is hilarious.
They even look similar.
And, like, oh, but on the nose, like, haha, this is dumb.
Yeah.
Whereas the Life is Strange one's like, they're taking everything so seriously.
That
you're
they
just,
do
like,
and they don't.
Like,
because you can't take Final Fantasy Spirits Within seriously.
Hell no, you can't.
No.
The spirit was a backpack.
The spirit was a backpack, though.
And it feels like they thought they could capture, like, Ellie.
Yeah.
You know? But
you're not Druckmann. Whoever wrote that.
You didn't, but you didn't do
you
it.
You didn't write
you
it as good as Druckmann
Ellie,
did.
And then you passed through.
Anyway, I'm going to hand it off to you, Wooly. What did you do this week?
Yeah, what did you do?
Well, I had
watched a stream for 8 hours.
Yeah, I watched the stream for fucking 8 hours. That was a huge part of it. I'm in the middle of an interesting time where with no internet, you kind of sit and look around your room and go, okay.
Yep. This is my life.
There are things.
I can't believe how bored I am.
No, like, and the thing is, I've always had offline, like, stuff, like, downloaded to watch and read and whatever.
But still,
you know.
But knowing that it's your only option makes it less appealing.
Yeah, no, your room just suddenly feels a whole lot bigger.
Yeah.
You know, you're a little bit smaller sitting on your couch. I did, one of the movies that I had downloaded to check out was Big Hero 6.
Oh, I saw that this
You're
week,
in
too,
there,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, I'm in that movie.
Yeah, okay.
You are in that.
So apparently, that is not what I had thought it was, because I thought it was just like, I was expecting like a sort of The Incredibles kind of thing.
That's what I thought it was.
Right.
And yeah, and it doesn't...
Based on the Marvel comic, but not really.
It's not exactly that. It's quite different in a lot of ways. But I can see why, you know, it's getting the solid reviews and everything it's getting and a lot of the recognition. It's not, like, Pixar-style classic at its finest holy shit stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it isn't fucking...
It's not The Incredibles.
It's not The Incredibles. It's not Up. Right? But
that's the most unfair comparison
I know.
Ever.
But my point is...
Is it unfair?
No, because that's what
it's
Pixar
not,
used to
exactly.
do. And Disney Animation Studios is...
Are kind of picking up the slack.
They're picking up the slack, you know, and they're doing what they can with it. But they're doing all right, you know?
Yeah.
There's nothing...
They're doing better than Pixar's doing now.
And seeing the movie, like, honestly, the most one of the most interesting things about it is the setting. In San Francisco.
Yeah.
Right? And then
this is
everything
also
that
Silver
entails.
Silver Samurai shit. Silver Samurai was in this group in a Marvel comic thing, and they kind of took the idea and chopped out a lot of Marvel stuff. So in the early marketing of this movie, it says based on the Marvel comics universe or something.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, but then they downplayed it. Like, they were scared
but
of
then,
it.
But then, there's the, but then there's a huge Marvel thing that gets... related to
is it Captain
stuff.
America?
No.
Is it Ego?
No. But anyway, I'm not going to spoil it. But in any case, there's no real glaring flaws with the movie. I find it's pretty fun and solid, and it's a good watch. The closest like thing I can kind of nitpick, and it kind of explains why I'm left like kind of going like, yeah, I liked that, but I didn't go crazy. Is the pacing, which is such
it's so typical and like
it's intangible. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just something you sort of feel as it's going on. You're like, this is moving way too fast. You know, and they kind of had too much script to convey the movie in.
Bits of it I really didn't buy into, like how Hiro like just magically became friends with all his like brother's friends.
That's
and,
it.
Like,
that's it. Things that should have taken time. Yeah, didn't.
I think that's kind of like what's appealed to little kids. Let's just have fast things always happen.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Kids don't appreciate.
And then there was the whole thing where there was three main scenes with all the cast, and it was the let's meet the cast. Oh, now all the cast is fighting together, but they're garbage because they can't work as a team. Oh, yes. Now everybody's working perfectly as a
exactly,
team.
And then it's over.
You know,
and all of that stuff. It's just like if you just had more time, you know, you could have solved it. I think that you have to make some huge, incredible leaps, and you also have to kind of go like, and this is the part where we kind of stop following this kid's life, and now we just kind of go into superhero mode.
Mm-hmm.
The Majesty of Flying scene that happens in a lot of movies is it's important, but in this movie, it takes way too long. they spend a lot of
You're
time.
Talking about the scene.
I feel like it's just because we've seen so many
awesome.
Of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Woo! Flying is awesome. Yeah.
So if it's any longer than 90 seconds at this point, it's too long.
It's important, and the kids really like those scenes, so you really gotta have it in there.
Kids are chodes. Don't.
But
do things
it was a solid couple minutes.
Oh, that's too.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's weird. Yeah, but this.
The one thing I really liked, though, was, like, the animation was, like, absurdly top-notch.
Oh, of course.
It was incredibly good.
Yeah, I expect that to continue to be, like,
that,
pinnacle.
That's rarely an issue for, like, Disney or Pixar. Mm.
Well, no, for sure. But there were just some bits of, like, expressions of human emotion where I saw it and I was like, oh my god, that's better than the last animated movie I saw.
Yeah.
Because it's always the last one that's the best one, usually, right?
It just caught me. The like faces of the main characters as well, like the Hiro and his brother.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really interesting where you can look at a character that's in an animated Disney style, and or rather Pixar style, I'll say, and see that it's like, they're not Asian and they're not American, they're actually mixed. And you can see that they're mixed.
Yeah.
Like, that's really, really well proportioned features and things like that. And so, you know, there's good stuff. Ultimately, I think it's worth checking out for sure. But, there's that. The other thing
excited
I did
for that
was,
sequel?
Right.
Based on the ending, right? Like, I mean, come on.
Do they call that Big Hero 7 or Big Hero 6 2?
Probably 7.
Yeah.
Well,
where's 1 through 5?
Finally got to show the girlfriend the Dragon Tattoo remake.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm proud.
Play that Pilgrim song.
Exactly. Fucking Immigrant Song. Dude, that song, I can't believe, upon watching it this time, I can't believe how perfect the song is.
So you and I had the conversation about how that might be like the most effective trailer ever, and you should have stayed with that.
Because the trailer was just the song, cuts to it, and then, like, slow, brooding, dark imagery, and then the feel-bad movie of Christmas, The Girl with the Dragon
and
Tattoo.
And they told David Fincher, you can't call the movie that. That plays really poorly during Christmas. And he goes, you can't fucking tell me what to do. And he did it, and the movie failed financially. And he's like, you might have been right.
it sucks, because the other trailer is the one that spoils everything over the course of 4 minutes, and it's a terrible trailer. And I'm just like, this is the exact opposite of what it should be. But
Paul Markman said, I'm going to make a fucking trailer.
I'm going to do this myself.
The more legitimate problem. Like, people, like, I love being lost in movies' plot.
Mm-hmm.
The average viewer fucking hates that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that trailer exists so that the person actually has most of the plot unlocked before
walking in.
And so then they can enjoy the movie.
So they don't get surprised and then write an angry review.
Yeah.
God forbid. Something surprises you.
Yeah.
Every theater you go to, there's the one guy and his girlfriend, and the guy's going like, how did the fucking guy, well, I don't know, and she's telling him to shut up.
Yeah.
That guy's writing the review.
Yeah. So what'd your girlfriend think?
She's got the girl boner for Liz Salander, as she should. All is right in the world.
Oh,
like, This movie is...
And then you both rode off into the sunset to find her.
Yes, wherever she may be. It's just, it's like, we're seeing, we talked about this in the last time,
character, you know,
Matt. We're seeing the comeback of the hard R.
Yeah.
You know, and...
A lot of those hard R dramas for adults have been doing really well, like in the last, like...
But only if Sweden does months. It first.
No, like Gone Girl is based on the American novel.
And it's just like, it's so refreshing because it's like for years when you just hear movies going like, we want to make this accurate or good, but we can't because we need kids to see it because otherwise we're not going to make enough money.
Could you imagine?
So we have to make this a PG-13
or PG-16. Could you imagine if RoboCop 2 came out and it was hard R? Like, what a fucking swerve that would be.
Yeah, the remake.
Or if another Expendables is a hard R.
Yeah,
Expendables being PG-13 is offensive.
It fucking sucks, man. And people, Hollywood operated with that mentality for, like, close to two decades now.
Plus, it makes no sense. We have to have PG-13 for these kids who don't know who these men are. They don't know.
Everyone cool in Expendables.
Hey, it doesn't matter if they know or not.
25.
Doesn't matter if they know or not. If they're filling a seat, that's all that matters.
Exactly.
No, I know.
It's when Cheapy Tuesday's happening, and the family walks up and goes, "What are we going to see? We got to get these kids in here for a couple hours and out of our hair." So, well, what's that? That's PG. Yeah, all right, we can bring the kids to that.
I know, but Expendables' entire appeal, the fact that people
it's totally stupid.
Why is the governor shooting a gun?
At the movies, you know.
Hey, that guy evaded taxes.
Oh, we lost Liam.
And now he's back.
Not yet. Hold on.
Oh, no. Oh. That darn Mexican internet.
Banditos are cutting off his internet and turning out his lights right now.
I like Liam, and I think he's a cool guy, but if he came back, I was like, help! Help! I'd laugh super hard. And our options are limited. We just throw up our hands and just well.
To write that off.
Write that off. Tax time's coming up.
Hello?
Yo!
Are the banditos raiding your house right now?
Yeah, basically. I had to fight off a bunch of them. It was great. They were singing songs and stuff. I love it.
Raccoons. It's just like a huge army of raccoons just busting.
Whoa, Liam's.
It's okay.
Okay.
Are we good? Right.
I think he's going to make it. Yeah.
I'm alive.
Yeah.
For the moment, at least.
Cool. I just squirted lime in their eyes.
The men from the cartels, they wear black. Okay?
Okay.
Just letting you know.
Everybody wears black. We're all wearing black right now.
All right. But just wrapping up that thought. It was just, I'm probably going to go straight into the Swedish sequel, because I wasn't sure whether to watch the remake or not.
Very different films. They are not murder mysteries at all.
But the thing that I was worried about was, for one thing, now that I've seen the first one so fresh in my mind, I don't want to rewatch it a third time again, just right away, even if it's super different, right? Yeah. So I want to go into the second one and just kind of make sure I know who's who. So that I don't...
It's like a whole new... There's two returning characters. Everyone else is new.
Okay, great. Good, thank you.
It's like a sequel in a really direct sense and also very indirectly.
Yeah.
And then
what we'll do is I'll finish it off, and then I'll finish off the third movie, and then I'm going to go back to the first one.
Yeah.
And then compare it like that. You know?
The thing with the first Swedish film and the second and the American remake is that they're both great films, but I always prefer the American remake because Daniel Craig is way more believable. Because I read all the books too, and as he's describing the book, I picture Daniel Craig, and I don't picture kind of overweight villain from Mission Impossible 4. Being Mikael Blomkvist.
Yeah.
And the music just destroys all the music in the Swedish version. It's so much...
You get Trent Reznor to score your movie.
Yeah, Trent Reznor. It's kind of what he does. He won an Oscar for it.
Yeah.
No, he won an Oscar for The Social Network.
Right. But no, like I can't like of course the whole the land of the ice and snow,
yeah,
right. The fact that it's called Immigrant Song and those are the victims you're seeing in that intro, like it's so ridiculously appropriate. I don't know whose choice it was.
And it's also like a James Bond opening theme with all its crazy imagery. So I love that. I watched that music video on loop, and that listening to that Immigrant Song, it got me through the majority of testing Deus Ex. I would just nice. Have that on that loop version all the of time. Yeah.
Yeah, no, and I mean, besides that and Maximilian, like, that's more or less me, you know? That's my week. Pat?
I didn't do a whole lot that's worth talking about. I've been playing a bunch of games, but there are a bunch of games that I've talked about last week and 2 weeks before that. I've been playing Baldur's Gate and Monster Hunter.
So normal life. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. It's fine.
I started... There was one thing I want
to
say.
Sorry. Is there something that you guys kind of... do? Are you guys having this thing too where you kind of feel like I need to do more with my week to talk about it on the podcast?
Yes!
I don't like that. I had that early on.
I was
and then I yeah, and then I'm like I'm not gonna do this because this is stupid.
I was playing Baldur's Gate for like there was a day that's all I did where I played Baldur's Gate, and at the end I'm like, I could have done something that I could have talked about on the podcast.
Yeah, no, we don't live for the podcast. We podcast because we live.
So there is actually one thing that is worth discussing in a modern context about Baldur's Gate 2, and that game has the best cameo of an existing well-known character I have ever seen in anything.
Hey, it's me.
Yes, that literally happens. You know, everyone knows the Forgotten Realms character Drizdordan.
Oh yeah. Double swords, two panthers.
So halfway through the game, you find some imps and they tell you, they're like, hey, do this dumb riddle. And you're like, okay, what's the riddle? Okay, we're going to put five famous characters from the world in this, you know, the pictures of them. Go grab an item that is associated with them and give it to them. So you find a scimitar, and you're like, okay. And you go give it to Drizzt. And you find a staff, and you go give it to Kelvin Blackstaff. You do that, and you're like, okay, that's nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you go through the long, long fucking... this game is so long. And you run into a problem in which you're like, wow, okay, we gotta go kill this vampire. This vampire is a serious, actual problem and kicked your party's ass earlier in the game. What are we gonna do? We should get help. And somebody tells you, you should go find somebody to help you. And then the very first time you fast travel after that, you just run into Drizzt's party.
Oh.
And go... and one, your character doesn't know them, but one, at least one of your party does.
Okay.
You do... That's Drizzt.
Yeah.
You go, the guy from the... yeah! You, hey Drizzt, you wanna
help... in-game party, fanboys out,
a little bit, a little bit. And it's like, hey, what's up? He's like, we're just adventuring. You see it? You see this hammer? We're looking for a hammer. No. Hey, you hate vampires, right? He's like, yeah, I hate them. Do you wanna come hang out with us? And go kill this vampire? So yeah, totally.
The next thing I have to do is go
and meet up with his entire party.
Yeah.
To beat one of the game's bosses. That's better than Iroquois Plissken. That's better than, like, I can't think of another, like, because it's not forced.
Forrest Kaysen.
Forrest Kaysen's pretty good. Sure. But it's like, it makes sense that this character is just wandering around in that area, and the reason why they would come hang out with you is totally believable and makes sense.
The best fucking thing is when you jump on a WoW server and try to look up all the Dark Elves.
All the Night Elves, Night Elf Hunters.
Yeah, and see how many versions of Drizzt, the whatever spelling underscore fucking versions you can find.
And so, the best part about that, the undercap to the WoW thing, which always made it super good, is that WoW has a hard ban on named characters as your character.
Yes.
And so, like Drizzt Do'Urden is banned from the name creator.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And so is Drizzt. So you go in and it's everyone has misspelled the name.
As like and how are many just, letters off can you
and,
go?
And they're just living their lives
not,
in fear of GMs finding them.
Anymore.
But no, he's too cool, I wanna be him.
It's terrible.
But not if you name yourself something else.
Also that game Lee, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, remember how we talked in Mario RPG about how characters should level with you even if they're not with you?
Yeah, undoubtedly.
This game has the worst I have ever seen this problem.
Okay, so characters don't level when they're not with you, and what, do they recede?
No, characters when they're in your party gain experience. When they're not in your party, they don't. It's very straightforward. The problem is the main quest in that game is go save your sister. Go get her from the dungeon, right? And I said, I don't care about her.
Right.
She's a good mage, I'll put her in the party later. I want to go do every single side quest in the entire game. So I do every side quest in the entire game, and you guys are even rudimentally familiar with D&D 2?
Yeah.
Okay, you start that game at level 8 or 9. The level cap for that game before the expansion came out was like 15, 16. Mm-hmm. When I rescued her, I was level 18.
Okay.
Because the expansion raised the cap.
Yeah.
So I was higher than I could ever be in that game before the expansion.
Because the expansion changed the balance.
And then I save her, and she's the level that you would assume if you went there right away.
So you get a worthless character.
She is closer to level 1 than I am to the cat.
Fuck yeah, okay.
Right?
I always hate that.
And I'm like, oh my god. And like, it's kind of important this character tags along because they're involved and all this stuff. It's you're actually worthless. You're terrible. Oof. So then I used
imagine
to say
that doesn't have something like Suikoden where like, It you get a certain amount of XP relative to the enemy's level. Because in Suikoden, you get like a level 1 character, and they're caught up in like 5 battles.
Yeah, I did the math. I would never be able to catch this person up. I might not even be able to catch the person up to where I am now.
Right.
So I used a save editor and just gave her 3 million experience. Just
cracked open some INI files.
It's called EE Keeper. It's specifically made for the enhanced edition of these games.
Oh, okay.
Where you load up the save and you're like, you can modify any fucking value you want.
Sure,
so yeah, I copy pasted my main character's experience into her experience box. And she went 10 levels up and she can cast Wish now. So fuck it. The game is now double broken.
Yeah. I miss the old days of Red Alert, where you could fucking do a Red Alert Command & Conquer editor.
Yeah.
And you just make dogs that can attack from across the map, or fucking helicopters that shoot Tesla zaps at people on the ground.
Speaking of which, shouldn't we play that Red Alert where Ric Flair is in every cutscene?
That's the expansion.
It's just the expansion?
That's the expansion.
I thought it was in the entire whatever.
Also, then you have to play an RTS.
No, because the main character...
No, it's just like you did with Final Fantasy VIII. Just cut out the parts.
But the other thing is you might want to not just play the expansion, because like the main character of the Russian side in Red Alert 3, I think, is Peter Stormare.
Oh shit, really?
Yeah, and he's literally going, oh snap, at everything.
Shit, damn!
Yeah.
God, we'll never get Command & Conquer, like, FMVs ever again.
Never.
That was a once...
No, we'll get it, and it'll be on Kickstarter.
No, Willie, you said that's a once-again thing?
Liam
that happened 4 times.
No, Liam just said it. Like, to get it again now, it's a Kickstarter project.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
And the other thing, I played a lot of Monster Hunter. What do you want? What do you want from me? I played a lot. I have a Sarah Geo set.
Anything from you.
It's good. I'm only HR6. Commence calling me a casual... I started to play Majora's Mask.
Uh-huh.
And that game has a really, really atrocious opening.
Okay.
That game
All right.
What part of the opening do you think I'm going to complain about?
The first half an hour when you're stuck as a Deku Scrub?
Nope.
The actual intro. Going through the forest?
The Deku Scrub has nothing to do with it. You are a Deku Scrub, but it has nothing to do with it. It's, you know what my most hated RPG, like, side quest is? My number one most hated. Hey, man, we're the 5 kids.
Oh, you no, you don't thing, like that? Right?
Hide and go seek?
So let's go hide and go fuck yourselves!
Dude, it's fucking easy.
I know, you know what? I know that. I know okay. it's easy, and I did it. But okay. The whole, but it made me so, like,
did you hate that's what guy? Makes this a really rough opening?
Did you hate hide and go seek as a kid?
That you yeah. beat easily?
Like, what the fuck?
Just word it differently, saying that
no,
as...
No, hide-and-go-seek in video games is terrible. It's fucking terrible.
I remember there was that...
I thought you loved Monster Hunter.
Yeah. What was that have to do with anything?
They run away from you and have to go find them.
They don't hide, though. They run. It's run and seek.
That's... Yeah,
No, but, like, once I realized that none of them are in any buildings, I was like, okay, that's... It's not so bad.
No, you're... Yeah.
But just that initial, just, like... Fucking barf! Hide and go seek is like the very first thing you want me to. Oh, and like I beat it and got the ocarina and turned back into normal, and then like it lingered with me like still 20 minutes later that I put it down and haven't touched it since.
You're gonna be fierce, Daddy Lincoln. So I don't care about this. Yeah. They made me search for kids.
That being said, even this early, as somebody who didn't play Majora's Mask, holy shit, that Bomber's Notebook is fucking game changing. Because right away, when you give that dude the deed or whatever, so that you can get up to the tower, and then it saves in there, and it's like, and I notice that it's not finished. It says, hey, you could sell this deed to whoever, and says nothing else. Like, okay, this is a perfect implementation of this thing.
Did you appreciate the birth of Tingle?
I did not know this is where Tingle came from. I somehow thought that he had come
out of the couch.
My brain associates him with Triforce maps. He makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah, in this stupid world.
In this stupid, stupid, weirdo world, yes. It makes perfect sense that Tingle is like just like a fairy fanboy.
What doesn't make sense is how he got out.
Yeah.
Well, but he did.
Put him back in.
He's a meta character. He's one of those. Also, I think you talked about this like when you started at Woolly, or you guys, but I'm not sure. But there's something that I didn't... When I played this game the very first day, like right after, like an hour after Ocarina, there's something about it that I didn't appreciate, that I didn't even see. Mm-hmm. And then now that I played it now, they shove right in your face. Like, how did I not see this? It makes playing as Kid Link fine. It's the very first time you gain control and you run forward to a jump, he does like a fucking side flip.
You said this.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's been like 10 years since I played Majora. Was that, oh, and then both Liam and Woolly that was always there.
I'm like, this is
super cool.
That didn't click in my head as a child or whatever.
Yeah, no.
Like, dude, that's a... Like, I am adult Link. I'm just in a child body.
Like, even though the Hero of Time version went on to his own timeline...
Or fucking whatever.
The skills went back into the... I don't know.
He still has all his adult skills.
All his adult skills, I guess, yeah. That's
my whole week, man. Like, Monster Hunter.
It's good to have a schedule.
Nintendo support are a bunch of dicks, by the way. Like, I should... Yeah,
fair, this happened this week.
So, okay, you know there's themes on the 3DS?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay,
there was a Monster Hunter theme that was available, but only if you bought the game through the eShop from day one to March 15th, right? As somebody who got a review copy and then got a bundled, internalized copy that merged, I was like, I should probably be able to get that. So I called them up. They're like, oh, don't worry, they'll just send you a code. I'm like, oh, that's really nice. And then they send me an email saying, no. No code for you. This theme is only for people who buy it over the eShop. And I'm like, I heard the lady type down that I technically own two digital copies of this game.
So she told you on the phone that, like...
They would send me the code.
And then the email was just, no.
And at the bottom, it's like, we are aware this is not the answer you wanted.
That's probably at the end of a lot of messages.
And then the
Hey, when are you going to localize Fatal Frame 5? Well, this is probably not the answer you
wanted. Give us your email. We'll let you know.
And then the very next day, the fucking themes went on sale. On the goddamn shop.
Oh.
And I fucking bought it like a fucking chump.
And does it look nice?
It looks super good.
As you deserved to, according to that lady.
And I'm like, if I had called them earlier, would there have been a different response? Or were they literally just like, no, fuck him. He can buy it.
We need to remind him of his station in life.
It's fucking well, you harsh. Need to get that Snake Eater theme, because it's just a giant picture of the boss.
And it sings to you, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Well, my 3DS Majora's Mask thing is in the mail. It's going to go with that one.
Oh, yeah.
I hope you don't have a dead pixel. Like, that's not even snarky. Like, I'm dead serious.
It won't drive me crazy. Yeah.
What if it's dead center in the middle of the screen?
Yeah, a little...
What if it's always in the middle of someone's forehead?
What if it's just fucking eye,
Oh, fuck off! Oh, I was just gonna say that! Okay,
whatever they're called.
There was a moment a couple days ago where Jesus I was playing Christ, Monster Hunter, man. And I'm like, oh god, there's dust. Remember, Liam, you said if you get dust underneath the screen protector and you turn the 3D on, like, the dust becomes 3D?
You're fucked. I don't know about it becoming 3D, but you're fucked, yeah.
No, but that's what happens. I must have heard it, but that's what happens. And I'm looking at it, and like, uh-oh. I know this isn't a dead pixel, because I know what dead pixels look like, but there's a fucking dirt spot. Maybe it's under... And I'm washing it, and I'm taking... I have a bunch of microfiber cloths for this exact purpose. And I'm like, breathe, I'm doing... Ah, and like, the spot keeps moving. Every time I clean it, it moves. And then, like, I hit this realization, and I was, like, so ashamed that I had to contact you guys on Facebook just to log it. It's like, I think I just spent half an hour cleaning eye floaters off my 3DS screen.
Matt, bring us back down to reality.
Parks and Rec.
Eye floaters are real.
Parks and Rec.
Season 7.
Wrapped up.
Little disappointed, actually.
What? Yeah,
little disappointed. I can't go too much into it, obviously.
Of course, yeah.
But there's no story. No story.
Okay.
When I think of a series finale, there's a big problem. Everyone has to work towards solving it.
We gotta save the department.
Yeah, I guess so.
Nope.
But
nothing really.
I don't know. I mean, did you watch 30 Rock, right?
Not all the way through.
Oh, okay, because when you get to the end of that, there's some good stuff, but...
But I'm just a little disappointed that I'm so used to that show being, hey, we have to run for office, we have to run for governor, we gotta solve this problem, we gotta solve that.
We have to listen to Patton Oswalt talk about Marvel movies.
We have to fill in the ditch!
Yes.
And this, there was like... They're leading up, like Ben, for example, is going to do a big thing. And then it just kind of just stops that storyline. And then for the last episode, they said, let's just make a big last episode of what happened to everybody.
Okay.
And they're good. They're all fine. And they're nice and funny. But
are you saying it's like an epilogue in the place of the final chapter?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay, I see.
But it was still good. And the episode a few previously before that is just the Johnny Karate Explosion Fun Hour show that Andy runs. And that was hilarious because that just had commercials for different Pawnee institutes like Paunch Burger and everything like that. So that was really hilarious. They even took away the theme song of Parks and Rec for that episode. And it's just the theme song for Johnny Karate and everything.
That's ballsy.
Yeah, no, it was really good.
Cool.
I also watched this really, really interesting horror movie called Starry Eyes, which I've heard about for a while, and it's about a young girl vying to be an actress in Hollywood and working at Tater Tots to, like, support herself, but she just goes to a million auditions.
Yeah.
And very early on, this is, like, psychological. She starts ripping her hair out and screaming at herself whenever she goes to an audition.
Yeah.
And she doesn't nail it.
And how do you think I lost my hair?
I don't remember you wanting to go to L.A. for auditions, though. And eventually, a movie studio goes, hey, we'll have you do an audition. And they're really, really curt, really, really asshole with her. She has another freak out in the bathroom. And then when she opens up the door, one of the interviewee ladies is staring right at her after she's had her freak out in the bathroom stall and goes, do that again. And she's like, what? And goes, what you just did. You actually did something. Instead of all these girls that have come in and have done nothing, you actually did a thing. She's like, I don't understand. So she sits in front of them and they're just like, what was that? And it goes, I had a fit. It's a thing. I pull out my hair. I've done it since I was a little girl. I just get really frustrated. Like, do that again. and she does it again. She does it legit, and she's screaming and arching her back on the floor. And both of them, all the interviewers, are looking over their table, getting super hyped. They're like, "Yo!" Like very Parks and Rec, like,
"Yeah, yeah, ooh."
Yeah. So the movie kind of spirals, and she gets an interview, and it gets more and more bizarre, and then it goes into Rosemary's Baby.
What, really?
Territory.
Okay.
And it was an excellent movie. The actress, who I've never heard of, I don't know what else she's done, phenomenal. It has probably one of the goriest kills I've ever seen. I looked away for a bit.
Wow, you looked away.
There's one thing. Anything with fingernails, I'll turn away.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, not for me.
Oh, I'm like that with the vein stuff.
Teeth, too, maybe. Yeah. Teeth, not as much. But fingernails, no thank you.
Yeah.
Take that back, send it right back.
Yeah.
No thanks. This kill that I'm talking about wasn't even that. It was something else. And I just went, wah! And just, that's all I have to say. It's not on Netflix, unfortunately. It's probably on PSN Video Store and Xbox Video.
What's it called again?
Starry Eyes. It was really good. Also, like, it was, like, slow burning horror. No jump scares, no loud noises, no cats being hidden behind a closet. It was just really, really, it got more and more fucked up. But it was kind of, like, also self-aware. It wasn't too, like, serious and depressing. It was
cool.
It was really good. I liked it. Tons of Killer Instinct this weekend.
We got to take a quick break for our sponsors.
Sure.
Liam's in Mexico, you guys.
Yeah, he's never coming back.
I don't, my hopes aren't high.
It's not sad. A lot of desu going on in Mexico.
No. How is he even living?
The weird thing is that before he left, he told me that he was going on a quest. Right? He was trying to find all the best anime that Mexico has to provide.
Offer, which I can imagine is lots.
You'd think, but I just don't see him pulling it off.
How could he get this anime to himself, wherever he is?
Like, it's almost as if, like, Liam just doesn't know that there are options out there to get awesome shit delivered to his door.
I guess he doesn't.
So he's got to travel abroad.
Right?
Through two countries, no less.
Two of them.
And one of them's really big.
Nearly off the end of the continent to try and find some shit that he could have had mailed to his door if he knew what he was talking about.
If only Liam was smarter.
He could have stayed here comfortable in the freezing cold.
Yep.
and in the comfort...
And not in a paradise.
In the comfort of his igloo.
And he could have had a loot crate delivered to the front steps of his igloo.
Liam!
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Come on.
Get back here so we can chew you out. And so that we can tell you to head on down to lootcrate.com/friends and use the promo code friends so that you save $3 on any new subscription.
Get all the anime desu criminal girls that you want.
You don't have to go down to Mexico to get your shit. If you're in Mexico right now, you don't have to come all the way up to Canada to get your shit. Just mail it to you. That's it.
I hope he listens to this message.
Everywhere that has a post office is within the realm of Loot Crate.
Yeah.
Every month there's a different theme of crate box items coming to your house. You've got classic movie themes, video game themes, Marvel, zombies, Legend of Zelda.
It tends to be nerd shit, but that's good.
Yeah.
All over the place.
That's real good.
They got you covered, right? So this whole pilgrimage...
We're trying to save you, Liam.
Right? You don't need to team up with Johnny Depp and Antonio Banderas.
I was a little confused for a second when you were
on Salma Hayek. Yeah.
Right? We don't need to see Liam's Motorcycle Diaries.
Although...
That wouldn't be too bad. But the loot he'd bring back from those diaries wouldn't be nowhere near as good as the Loot Crate loot.
It's true.
So, yeah. You want to head on down.
Just let that hang in the air for a second, because you think about it, and you're like, yeah, there's no way.
Just let the gravitas sink in.
There's no way. Right? Liam, I don't know when you're coming back, but you have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and get that month's Loot Crate, and that's the cutoff. So if you want to get in there, you got to get back here in 2 weeks or so. I hope you'll be back
by
then.
You just checked your right arm for a watch that you don't wear.
Maybe this month's Loot Crate will bring me a watch.
Stranger things have happened.
Lootcrate.com/friends. Enter the promo code friends. Save $3 on your new subscription today. Thanks, Loot Crate.
Thanks, Loot Crate. This podcast is brought to you not just by Audible, but also the new show, How to Be Amazing. How to Be Amazing is a new audio show hosted by Michael Ian Black of Wet Hot American Stump... How to Be Amazing is a new audio show hosted by Michael Ian Black of Wet Hot American Summer and Stella, available exclusively at Audible. And if you want to get them now, go to audible.com/MIB to get the first 4 episodes free. Michael Ian Black talks with people on how they got from being merely creative to being creative forces of nature. You can get the first 4 episodes free, and they've got amazing guests like Bob Odenkirk, star of AMC's new crime drama, Better Call Saul. Elizabeth Gilbert, author of the novel Eat, Pray, Love. Lin-Manuel Miranda, creator and star of The Heights and the new musical Hamilton. Tavi Gevinson, founder of Rookie Magazine and one of the 25 most influential teens in America as ranked by Time Magazine. So not only will you get the wit of Michael Ian Black's each episode, you might just learn some tips on how to be amazing yourself. So for the first 4 episodes of How to Be Amazing, free, go to audible.com/MIB. That's audible.com/MIB.
Tons of Killer Instinct this weekend.
Tons of Killer Instinct. I played a little bit with you, too.
Agonos.
We both kind of realized
Dude, his theme is amazing.
Isn't it unbelievable?
Palios, it's called. Greek for war, I think.
As somebody who's totally removed from Killer Instinct, his theme is amazing.
It's amazing.
Sorry. Big Ben That's just a good messaged perspective. Me and said, Wooly,
Agonos' theme is amazing.
Wooly, help. I'm in Quebec at a French casino and I can't speak French.
You're going to lose your money, bro.
You're fucked, Big Ben.
You're fucked.
Get fucked, boy.
we realize that while Agonos is really fun to play, using the chunk armor system is super hard in an actual match.
Man, is that a challenge. It's you're fighting against that system as well as your opponent.
It has to be instant muscle memory to do it anytime there's been a hard knockdown.
Yeah.
And even then, there's not a lot.
And the only time, the situation where you get a reliable chunk besides like combo enders are like, it's just like a panic. Shadow move.
Yeah.
You know, where you're like, just got any chunks. You know, and you end up, you can't fight a match panicked for your subsystem to work.
No, you can't.
Especially not a character, I would imagine, that has his gimmick is setups. Like, putting up walls.
Yes.
You shouldn't be setting up environmental damage panicked.
But I'll tell you what, though, when you get it going, Phoenix Wright. Phoenix Wright from Marvel.
I saw Jeff the Hero post some bullshit on his YouTube channel.
Yeah, I saw that
with Agonos. With that stupid club.
Yeah, the club.
And I'm looking at it and I don't know what's happening, but I know it's bullshit.
Whenever we use that club, I'm just like, fuck off with this, man. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, no, it's like that's when you're like, fuck, I'm losing this round. I gotta fight it back using instinct. And yeah, like that's your thing. That's your way out.
The other thing I was telling William about is that when I was playing, messing around with this myself, doing some stuff with this ultra, I'm like, oh, I'll do that rock thing where all the rocks fall down. I'll do that at the end of the ultra. That's like 9 extra hits. I'm like, that's awesome. And while that's happening, I'll do the blanket ball. I'll get over there. And I'm like, I could finish off with the people's elbow. I was like, oh, that's neat. Like, and I was able to do it once in practice. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I go and I see some Chad Kroger looking motherfucker post a 145 hit Agonos combo where he's like, how about I'll let the rocks rain on you? Then I'll do the shotgun rock that shoots the shotgun spread and hits you 15 times each. And you see the combo counter go from 110 to 145 in a fucking instant. And then he's rolling and then does a backwards up. I'm like, fuck off this dude.
Max
put Matt on blast without even acknowledging it.
I thought you could do that combo if you wanted to. You just didn't feel like it. But now you sound like you can't do it.
At first I thought I couldn't do it.
When you roll past and get the people's elbow going back the opposite direction.
Because it tracks a little bit.
Yeah, that's the fucking style. That's the style right there.
So that was super sick. And also, you were talking about those level caps being raised for Baldur's Gate.
Yeah.
The level cap for Killer Instinct got raised. So, and to make up for the boost that people would get, because the higher you up for ranked characters, like if your orc is at level 31, it'll jump a couple of levels for you to make up for the...
To reacclimate.
For reacclimate. And a couple of like only two or three characters, like TJ Kama, Ripter, and someone else, they all got like a bump of two levels. And it's just nice. I logged in and like, here, you unlocked all these fucking new accessories and color... Color 9,
yeah.
So
fighting
nine.
Games are doing this thing now where, like, the last color, like in Exert, color 14, or 12, rather, because 13 is the Christmas ones, is just the Tron-style glowing, cool neon things on black. And KI has the same thing with their default costume color 9s now.
For a couple of characters, Fulgore specifically, he's glossy black, with the lines inside his armor being glowing bright white.
It's just cool look. It's the costume
cool.
Where they just go, fuck consistency, we're gonna change the texture.
Some rad shit.
And go nuts with it. Yeah.
And cause they know color 9, I believe color 8, or just color 9 and the last two accessories cannot be bought with money. You have to earn them.
At the top of the character rank. Yeah.
But it's at level 50, I might get one character there in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Does that have 50. Per character ranking?
Sorry?
Yes, individual.
Good. Fucking good. God damn.
Yeah.
But color 9 was amazing. And the last thing I played was it's coming out this week. I got a Steam code for it. White Knight, the survival horror game that's done just a lot like Mad World.
Yeah,
just black and white. We saw that.
It looks like Resistance.
Yeah,
that movie there. Yeah,
and I only play like about an hour of that, but that game is really fucking awesome. Just you start, you crash your car. You're just, I need help. You wander into a decrepit old mansion. And you're like a 1930s gumshoe. And you have matches, and since it's black and white, the entire screen is just black. And you have a match, and it's just a little... You just see everything that's illuminated as you go, but it's just the most stark contrast from pure blackness to pure whiteness.
Looks gorgeous.
It looks amazing, and I'm just going around finding ancient clippings of a newspaper to find what happened with this crazy family. And I saw one spooky thing, and I turned it off.
Yeah, good.
You're going to have to wait a while to play it, though.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. You have to save that for a special
day. I totally forgot a game that I played this week. I spent like 3 hours playing Under Night in Birth.
In
yesterday.
Okay, are you going with Waldstein?
No.
Can I say something real quick about that game?
Oh, yeah, Liam, you got
that
fucked,
really
man.
Frustrates me.
What's up?
Yeah.
So, this has happened twice with Axis, okay? And,
oh, yeah, you said
this. One of them was X-Blaze, and more recently, Under Night in Birth, where I pre-ordered the game well in advance. I could have canceled at any point, but why would I? And then on day one on PSN, without any sort of announcement in a timely manner to allow me to cancel my pre-order, the game is almost 50% off. That is fucking garbage. I love that they're like taking this approach
to
try
PS
getting
the
digital version.
No. But I love that they're trying to take this approach to get their new IPs recognized a little bit, since you know nobody fucking knows what an Undernight is. But god damn it, tell me a week ahead of time so I don't spend $50 on a disc. Because at the end of the day,
I think I paid $23 for it.
Yeah, that's
what it was on PS Plus.
Now, yeah.
And like at the end of the day, I paid $50, and Axis is seeing maybe $25 of that. Like they're barely getting any more from the disc than they would have digital. Just fucking announce it in advance. This is the second time
then
I get
retail
fucked on
will be
that.
Mad.
No, that's like
no. You're not wrong, Pat. But like
no,
like,
no.
I think you would drum up a lot
right,
of sales.
Liam. You're completely right. But I'm just going, that's their internal reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. Anyway, fucking great game. Go on.
Dude, that game is really good.
Yes.
Like, that's, like,
yes.
Like, when we were just messing around with it, like, oh, this seems pretty good.
So,
But it was just me and a friend of mine, like, dicking around with this stuff. And it hit a point where I'm like, okay, that fucking tug of war shit at the bottom of the screen is clearly important.
Yeah, what is
I
it?
I have to, and that kind of sucked. I couldn't figure out how to find out what it was in the game.
It's I had to
go find. Like I typed in Under Night in Birth the title of the game, and the first thing that came up was the tutorial inside the NeoGAF OT.
Of course,
it's your FADC.
Yeah, but it's more. Like once I realized, okay, at the end of the timer, whoever's got the bars gets Vorpal mode, and then you hit DD, and then that just turns into meter.
Mm,
like, and
or you use it to cancel for moves.
And EX is just like every super, everything that I thought was a super was just an EX move.
EX move, yeah.
And
yeah.
supers are a totally different thing. And, like, damn near universal inputs on every character.
So, like, the last couple weeks where I was like, so I've been playing this at tournaments and going, yo, this is serious?
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say.
And
this game is real,
like,
man.
Just, like, dude, like...
It's super good.
I know. I don't know if this marks me as, like, a baby casual or something anymore, but I'm tired of goofy inputs. Like, I'm tired of fucking every character having... different inputs just cuz. Like, you know what? Like, you made your game half circle, forward, and D is your super. Fine.
That's why Third Good. Strike doing away with charge characters has stupid charge supers and just having motions
yeah,
the same
yeah.
as everyone else.
For super, yeah, for single input, like Sonic Boom things, it's fine.
That's fine.
I'm okay with, like, the simplification.
Balance the super
well,
around you know? The input.
Yeah.
yeah. But give people, like, because... Within, like, my friend is not that great at fighting games, but within, like, 20 minutes, we were doing all sorts of fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
And also, this has Persona's, like, Ark has just decided, I guess, that it's mashing A will get you an auto combo now.
Ark didn't make this game.
Ark didn't make this?
This is
by French
is
Bread.
The Melty Blood guys,
damn it,
man.
Axis and Arxis still.
Yeah, no.
Still.
No, it's by French Bread.
This is the Melty Blood guys.
Mashing A should get you
auto combo.
In anime fighting games. It should get you an auto combo,
but it's a weak auto combo. That's
yeah,
not
it's
great.
Not great.
Yeah.
But
yeah, but I agree with that. Like, I have no problem with 720s becoming double half circle backs. If
actually find 720s dramatically easier to perform,
unless it's like Skullgirls where it has detection on it,
yeah,
where it knows you're doing the motion and gives you a delayed jump, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I'm glad that you picked it up.
The animation is so good. It's beautiful. That game is gorgeous.
Now,
like,
enjoy
it's
fighting Gordo.
It's a Guilty Gear still, though.
Enjoy
never going to play this seriously.
Yeah, no.
This is a training mode with a podcast on for funsies game.
Mm. Yeah,
to me.
I'm like after like sitting down with dudes that play it seriously and just getting my ass beat.
Yeah, I can, like,
I
the,
fucking love
the tug
it.
Of
I
war
love
shit
it.
Makes me look at that and like, oh man, you can get your ass beat really hard if you can't get the fucking momentum on your side.
You putting any time there, Liam?
Not significant time, because I kind of just left to Mexico and, like, I'm not gonna lie, Criminal Girls was kind of occupying all my time as it
that's
was.
Fine.
That's
fine.
That's priority. That's fine, yeah.
Yeah, man. It's okay.
But I'm excited to get back and play it some, for sure.
Yeah. Let's talk some news.
Okay. Well, we were talking about a fighting game.
Well, no. I wanted, like first off and foremost, a bunch of people on my Twitter are like, Wooly.
When is the week of Wooly?
Why did you kill Leonard Nimoy? And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh my god. Ah, fuck.
I knew that
you
was
I feel
this.
Super good
you
by being
this.
The guy. The only time I ever did it, like, don't make fun of him, he's gonna die.
Like, also, I knew it was bad because the day after we recorded that podcast, I see Leonard Nimoy brought to hospital due to massive chest pains. And I was like, oh god.
Well, he did it
do
again.
Do you remember when old Lou had that news front and it was like the news article on the top of the page was, James Brown is about to die.
Ugh.
And then, like, the next day, James Brown is not. It's like they just fucking called it. Like, it's nuts.
Ugh, it's
when you
bad.
See that shit. But yeah, unfortunately, Leonard Nimoy passed away. And, like, all in all, of course, everyone knows this, but the coolest thing I've seen from this was this picture here that I'm gonna show you guys. Someone just straight
wow,
up.
Wow, awesome.
Yeah, yeah, you Liam, I know. Sorry. It's a
no,
billboard.
It's fine. It's fine.
That someone just went up and fucking pasted over of Spock in, like, Banksy-style black and white contrast,
mm-hmm.
and it just says, he did. Which is live long and prosper, so that's his
okay.
thing.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, that was actually the last, like, thing on his Twitter and stuff, and it's like, that was a classy send-off
yeah,
from everybody.
Yeah, so, you know.
Obama comes in like, yo, Spock, though. Even, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like... That's what was it last month was like Monty Oom randomly this month is that, like, 2015 off to a rough start, man, as far as celebrity deaths
go. You know, there's a lot of people on the earth.
There's a lot of people on the earth, and a lot of them are getting old. That's true. Yeah,
the baby booms.
It's true. It happens, you know?
There's some sort of, like, backlash where people are like, okay, everyone, Spock didn't die. He is a fictional character, because some people, like, on various, like, social media. I just saw this backlash from, like, I saw some tweets that were, like you know, like, a couple thousand or something. Just, a man died, not Spock, because some people are like, that's Spock, right?
If you want to break yourself, though, go find that picture of the crew sitting together where it's just Kirk, Spock, Bones, and Scotty. And then the picture underneath them is just Kirk sitting at the table by himself. It's the same picture, but the three are gunners. Like, oh, man.
Jeez,
that's a rough one. Anyway, so that's a bit of a bummer.
Good job, dipshit.
Well, it's relevant.
No, I mean for doing it.
Yeah,
sure. Liam, you check out that Charlie gameplay?
Charlie gameplay? Elaborate.
Nash, Street Fighter V.
Boy, fucking did I. Holy shit.
They put Rugal in Street Fighter.
So you said Charlie, and I'm like, what indie game is this that
Charlie
I
heard Nash.
Of?
Yeah,
Charlie motherfucking Nash looks amazing.
I believe his name is Carlos Charlie Blanca.
To which Combo Fiend fucking
wrote what?
Yeah.
What to me?
So they straight up did it. Like, oh, for years, it's like his somersault is kind of, it had a different flavor to it than Guile's does. And now they just went with we're putting the Marvel versus Capcom version, our Marvel versus Street Fighter version of Charlie moves in there. Uh-huh. And we're just giving him straight up genocide cutters.
Like, The fact that every single person I know, myself included, you and me, Wooly, were the only two that came to the same conclusion. I saw, like, Max's reaction, I saw Twitter's reaction, etc. Every single person went, they turned him into blank, and blank was a different character for every almost... Yes. I saw they turned him into DeCapre. Says they turned him into Wesker. And you and I are going, those are genocide cutters. They turned him into Rugal, dipshits.
Yeah.
No, he is... No, the closest thing is he is DeCapre Rugal now. Even that lunging grab thing, it doesn't take you to the wall, but it's like a similar sort of hit grab.
Yeah.
You know? God, like, he is not the old Charlie at all. He's a brand new character.
He's all stitched up.
And the fact
that... if you fall off a fucking waterfall, just stitch you back up.
Yeah.
No, that one was him...
You can get better.
Get blowing up the Shadaloo base in Alpha 3.
It worked for Nightmare Geese.
No, but in Alpha 2, the ending was he falls off a waterfall. But then, in Alpha 3...
Yeah, he died all those three times.
So, there's three different deaths, but the canon one we're going with is the waterfall.
Oh, really?
Since they created the stage for it.
Okay.
Also, I think according to TMS Street Fighter Plot Guide, which I'll name drop at every opportunity... the second iteration of every series is the canon story one, and the third one is the epilogue.
Okay.
Yeah, so
Third Strike's an epilogue to Giant
Second
Attack.
Impact. Yeah, exactly. So gameplay-wise, we see fucking air flash kick, linker into crouching jab, into flash kick again. Like, he can fucking get in.
This is the... okay, so you had Ryu and Chun-Li, and you gotta have them. Yeah. Right, but you're like, man. We talked about this. I was worried, man. We're gonna get most of the Street Fighter 2 cast again.
The World Warrior.
I want new characters, or at the very least, old characters that were not in 4.
Eagle. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And so when Charlie was shown, it was like, okay, Charlie definitely fulfills one of those criteria.
Yeah. Yes.
We haven't seen him in ages. But then they went so much farther with exactly what I wanted. This is Charlie in the future. Charlie in the future is not Charlie
from
before. He's different.
Yeah.
Like, this opens the actual possibility of the should-be canon Sakura as a gym teacher.
No, you're not going to
do that.
Like, nope. This opens the possibility of, like...
Well, we just got Sakura, so, I mean, like you were just saying...
No, but if you're going to bring back characters...
Make them different.
Tekken or Soul Calibur them. Make them older.
But you're not talking about moves, necessarily.
No, I mean moves. I mean, that character is not the same.
Okay.
They got older. Ken should be totally different because he's been at home raising a kid for 4 years or something.
Because Ryu and Chun-Li don't look any different at all. Like, well, yeah, all the characters that
iconic
are coming back
things
look
are
exactly
iconic,
the same.
Unfortunately.
As long as Ono's on the helm, fucking Sakura will always be a
wearing that.
Well, I don't know, because Charlie and Bison that you see at the tease at the end, like, they, like, every Street Fighter character has their costume. This is what this character looks like.
Yes.
With very, very rare exceptions, like the Chun-Li Alpha stuff, right?
Yeah.
But Charlie, being all stitched up in Zombie Man and having the dot in his forehead, that's different. And Bison's wearing a full coat.
I can't believe that wasn't his original design.
Yeah.
To be fair, that might, like, I know we're excited, but that might just be promotional art or render.
No, we'll see how it looks once we actually see him, right?
We'll see. But what's Birdie been up to?
Dude, old Birdie.
Not even old, just
older.
Older Birdie.
I put my chain down. I am wearing a suit now.
He's balding.
Like, just like, shit, like, yeah. Street Fighter never time. Changes their characters.
Fighting games plus time equals best entrance into fighting games,
like
franchise.
Like, Street Fighter always went too far with our characters are iconic, so they can't change. So instead they would just make a new character instead of aging an old one. And KOF usually went a little too far, where every single fucking iteration would completely change the movement.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. Right?
You know, yeah.
But there's a happy medium in there.
There is a happy medium.
And that's, like, Charlie is that!
Now, let's not forget the most important part of this trailer, which is the instant kill death moves of knocking someone into a train
and sending them on
away.
Their way.
If they have fucking real bout shit where you win the round because the opponent just gets driven
carried
away is the best.
That, like
that's more entertaining
what,
than
you
any
bring in
gory
that out of bounds shit.
That is better than a Def Jam fatality.
That,
like,
is better than
the train.
Fuck
the train hitting you. You get kicked onto it and leave.
No rematch.
That's it. That's the best.
And it should say out of the ring. Yeah.
Oh, boo!
Fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Boo!
And clearly,
I want people falling into manholes. I want them, like, getting hit into ladders.
I want Bob dancing on top of that weird commando elevator.
Bob?
Yeah. Bob's in a different game.
Oh, I'm thinking of... Oh, is it
Rufus?
Real Bout? Oh, God.
It's Rufus.
No, I'm thinking of one of the Fatal Fury games in which you go off the edge and the guy goes out of bounds.
Yeah,
sure, yeah.
There's a dreadlock guy that I think his name was Bob.
Bob Wilson.
No, he's a regular fighter in the game,
because there's a clip in my head of him falling through the glass of an elevator, and then the elevator starts to rise, and he's just dancing on top of it.
Because you can knock a guy into the glass, and he'll be on top of an elevator, he'll be rising up. And I think certain characters have a dumb thing that they do, where they're like, I think Bob might dance.
Like, I want to see fucking Ryu hailing a cab, punching you into it, and tapping the back of the cab and sending it on its way. You know, that's going to be great. It's going to be great.
They changed the way the game looks. They have the lighting completely changed now. And it looks like 4 now.
Expect it to continue to change.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
We saw it change, like, what, 4 times?
many, many, many.
And
many
for 4, times. And that was before the fucking nightmare prototypes that came out recently that are just the ugliest looking things.
Yeah, we don't even... No. We mean from the actual build that was going to be a thing to now. Mm. At least 4 or 5. And we can see that the Chun-Li spam Morrigan fucking thing almost has an answer in the form of Charlie being able to teleport. So if they go for a slightly more hyper approach to these characters, you're expecting, like, crazy ass shit.
Like, if Ryu's unblockable fireball in his mode goes through all projectiles and then is still unblockable, that can be an answer for that
4
shit.
4 Kikokins on screen, 1 Dengen just cuts through them all.
And it goes fast enough that it'll tag or some shit.
Anything that facilitates more aggressive play rather than...
Totally agree.
...is a fucking good thing.
Totally agree.
It'd be sick if they found a way to work Metsuryu's, like, instant exploding fireball sort of version in there. To get that Takuma kind of, like, it's just the force of my ki.
Yeah.
I love that.
All his Marvel variations of fireballs are great, honestly. The rapid ones, too. Like,
it's fun, yeah. It's silly that he's holding his hand out and little pea shots are coming. But it's funny. I like it.
Yeah.
All the other big news this week is fucking Sega. is now Sega Games.
Yeah, last week. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Sega Service Games Games, actually.
Yeah. Sega Service My Games?
If you have a mobile phone. Well,
that's what the acronym was, so yeah.
Sega exits the console market, renames themselves to Sega Games.
Now a lot, the story always has some sort of update, but, or maybe, or something.
And there's an update, up in the air. There's an update now. Okay. The update is Sonic Team plans to continue making Sonic for consoles.
There's a variety of Sega games, like, just released on consoles. Like, they're not fully exiting the console market, I just think their old plan was clearly not working, you know.
Mm. Well, if what they were putting out was considered still being in the console market, at this point we're going to get what? Besides a Sonic game, like nothing, dude.
I don't know. The racing series, Aliens will live on, Project Evo will continue, Ryuga Gotoku isn't going to stop.
But no Jet Set Radio, goddammit.
No Sega IPs.
Nope. What is Yakuza? Is that not a Sega IP?
Yakuza?
That's not getting published.
Yakuza?
That's not true. Anyway, I don't know. I don't think they're going to...
Yeah, it's a huge one. And, you know, the watching... I love how a lot of these, like, news articles are just quoting 2Channel.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like a lot of quotes from people going, like, were they ever really even alive? Or it was a quote that was along the lines of, they were dead for many years now. Like, it's just a very Japanese way of looking at it.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, I know this is stupid of me. This is my fault. But when I look at this thing and I says, hey, Sega's going to double down on mobile, boo, and PC development. I go, well, they just put out the Valkyria... No, I'm stupid.
You're not.
That's not what that fucking means.
You're not getting Vanquish for PC.
I'm not getting Virtual Fighter on PC. It means browser games.
No
Japan.
One gets Virtual Fighter.
Yeah, so that's.
But they've been a really good PC publisher. So
everyone's talking about all this, and all I can feel in my heart is like, oh God, tell me, Virtual Fighter will continue to exist. Like, I will sacrifice the Yakuza series at the altar of fucking Virtual Fighter. For fuck's sake,
Virtual Fighter.
They got it. No, man.
You know what? You know what? Like, I don't know if arcades...
Dead or Alive cannot continue to exist in a world in which Virtual Fighter died.
It actually totally can, and it makes sense why it can.
No!
You know it.
Now that we're banning over 100 costumes to make it a bit more appealing to general audiences...
Those are soft bans.
Yes. So, let's roll right into it, then. We've got the Dead or Alive community basically coming together saying...
There's a kerfuffle!
They recommend that TOs soft ban a list of over-sexualized costumes.
Especially if you're on stream.
In order to try and, like, kind of clean up the image that Dead or Alive has been giving itself for the last...
Wally, I'm 10 years old. What does TO stand for?
Pardon me?
Wally, I'm 10 years old. What does TO stand for?
Tournament organizer.
Exactly.
Problem from this is that you shouldn't even be doing this game at all then. Play something
else if you
don't want the main appeal of the game to not be the main appeal
of
the game.
All right, well, here's what's up, though. Like,
I know it's a legit fighting game, DOA 5.
Now it is.
At the same time. Yeah.
But Matt, that's like saying stop playing Smash competitively because you're not using items. Like,
yeah, it's the community... has been for years.
This is just a visual thing and not a game.
Admittedly,
presentation.
The community for years has been rolling their eyes at the not just everyone's perception of the game, but the game itself for doing that. Because Inagaki used to be unapologetic about it, and like the people that took over just kept that legacy up, and they're not going to change what Dead or Alive it is or means for the people
that
buy the game. But the community, but the people of the tournament players are like, but fuck, this is a good game that we're trying to get people into.
But we can't.
and here's the thing. Say you soft ban the fucking costume, right? Because it's like, it's embarrassing to have this game associated, whatever. Like, the way that the costume selects are formulated in those games.
It's hard.
You gotta scroll past them anyway.
You have to pass by them. Like, mm-hmm. There's no... Like, people are going to know they're in there.
Yeah.
Okay, how about this? How about they, in the options menu of Dead or Alive 5, final, last, ultimate round, whatever the fuck, You have a toggle and it says oatmeal mode on
the community
mode off, and all the costumes.
The community has actually been specifically asking for this exact feature for like a decade.
But that's Team Ninja to do. That's Team Ninja and not the community.
No, we want to sell you the titty pack.
Like, anything that's like, put this in the... No, the community can't make the game. You know, unfortunately.
Tecmo is at a crossroads. You either choose the titties or you don't choose them.
And here's the thing where I don't know how well you remember this, but remember making fun of the I'm a fighter, like, thing?
Yeah, we were talking about it.
Because it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Because it was like, this fucking cheesecake stuff is trying to take itself seriously. They were actually trying, and it didn't work.
No.
And the instant that that seemed to be clear that it didn't work, they doubled down on the creepy shit harder than they ever did. They started to make little girl characters.
Yeah.
There's hundreds of dollars of string bikinis now.
Because I was telling Pat, like, when I walked in, and I was like, oh, you're playing tons of Dead or Alive, huh? And he's like, yeah, it's super good. And I go, hey, remember Mila? Or Mila, right?
Mila.
They tried to push her, and they're like, yeah, it didn't take. Nobody bought it. Go back to the titties. Because she was like the poster girl for the
And now Marie Rose is the fucking poster girl,
as worst. She should be.
So Mila's the coolest.
It's a noble effort. I think it's a noble effort on the community's behalf. But the product they're working with,
it's like the product is working against you.
Everyone, stop looking at the porn. Just read the articles.
And that's a hard sell in any way,
right?
Like, stop looking at porn.
Just read the articles in fucking Penthouse.
There was an analogy that I thought was perfect that I saw about this topic was, even if you ripped out all the photos out of Playboy, you're still getting caught reading Playboy.
Yeah.
Like, no one is fooled.
The cover's still there.
Right? You didn't fool anybody.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, the mental share is fucking the mind share.
It's like, this is going going to flip no one. Like, say they were hard bans to the default costumes. Mm. Like, some of the, like, that's not going to change the fact that, like, Tina gets down on her knees and starts panting when she loses.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's a tough loss.
It's like, DOA's been cleaning up its image. It could do that for, like, 3-4 games
in a
row. And someone's
DOA
like, you fucking playing
day.
DOA, dude? Like, yeah. Oh, man.
It's unsavable.
You have to rebrand it as something. You have to call it, like, Alive or Dead.
Oh, God.
Just end it. Just end it.
It cannot be saved. And they realize that, and that's when they're like, okay, let's push this to the fucking limit. Let's just push it to the limit. Like, because the creepazoids aren't going to leave.
Yeah.
And the people that are kind of creeped out but like fighting games, they're not going to leave either. Who's going to leave?
You know what you do?
No one.
You fucking do. You pull a Full Metal Panic with it. You split it up into the volleyball series and the fighting series.
No, you give
them different names.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal, okay?
And you go all in on the volleyball.
So this is how far they've gone to creep up the main game. Let's just fucking wait for the next volleyball game and see how extreme that game goes.
It's 2015.
I don't see them making like a new one of those. Like, there was that Vita or whatever you released, but that was just like
Paradise on the PSP. Yeah, exactly.
Please, Liam, tell us about that game.
It's not a very good port, to be honest.
Okay.
The resolution doesn't do it any services.
But, like, I don't see them doing the volleyball thing again. Yeah. Now,
they said they want to.
Like,
they said they want to just the other week.
I'm
serious.
I didn't even hear that, but I knew. I'm like, why not? They would totally do it. What else can we put Jiggle Physics on? We already got the ass and titties covered. Let's put them there.
Yeah.
No!
Let's put them
there!
Let's put them there!
You can't!
Oh my god!
No!
We could get more extreme, you guys.
This is an AO rated game, I think.
Like, it's... Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
There's no saving it, and they're just gonna double down until they break a law somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Find out what will put us in jail, but don't back it off.
Yeah, that
just
that,
pay
that,
off
those
the officials.
Characters are in the game
money.
Right now.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, on the other side of things.
What?
Then just pay off the officials with swimsuit money.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
there
yeah.
you go. Meanwhile, on the flip side, MK is just throwing its new shit at you. And,
God.
Like, I've never seen a
this
series...
Big Hero 6.
I've never seen a series
trailer.
Clean up its act so fucking
I feel
kind
of bad for NetherRealm, because that story trailer and the brutality stuff is amazing, and yeah. I still don't care as much as the Charlie trailer.
Yeah, because it's fucking Street Fighter, and that's true.
Like, I feel bad, but, because that's on me.
But man, oh man, is MK10, like, stepping it the fuck up.
I feel more inclined to celebrate someone that cleaned up their act rather than someone that's always consistent.
Well, I guess...
Yeah, but it's Street Fighter. It's Mortal Kombat. Like, this is the age-old fucking battle. I'm not even going to have this conversation.
The difference is, like, Street Fighter is your friend that, like, went away to, like, China for like, a decade for a new job. And you're like, I'm never going to see him again. And then he fucking came back. It was the best! You hanging out, and it's awesome. And, like, Mortal Kombat was the friend that stayed, but, like, got a shitty job and turned into, like, a piece of shit and became a drunk. And then, like... clean themselves up and now they're cool again.
That's pretty succinct.
It's succinct, but I'm just like, I'd rather pat that person on the shoulder. It's like, good job, man.
Fucking good.
I might not love you as much as other people, but you get a gold star.
I'm proud of you.
That being said, the story trailer of Mortal Kombat was absolutely go nuts. Like, holy shit, a thing to look at every 3 seconds. What I don't like about it is, like, your main team is just Young Justice.
Well, Avengers. Okay, so we've got... oh, shit. Sorry, hold on. We're losing Liam.
Oh, no.
All right. Sorry, Senpai.
This is rough.
We'll carry it out with you.
Yeah, okay.
Without you, rather.
Go on without us, Liam.
Liam says, please tell everyone I love them if I don't come back. Oh,
okay.
Oh, jeez. Come back from Mexico.
It's going to be hard for him to come back when you leave Skype.
Mexico is rough with Danny Trejo running.
But yeah, we've got this, like, here's the story trailer. Introducing Jax's daughter, Kung Lao's descendant, Cassie Cage, and what's his name's son? Kenshi.
Kenshi's son.
Like, fucking just everybody.
And there's like more
other
character
guys.
Confirms in there.
Aaron Black, the Ninja Cowboy.
Yeah, he looks cool.
Right.
Sindel awesome. Lives, boo.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. Rain is in there.
I saw that comic. Somebody sent me that comic.
No, he's in the trailer,
of
too.
Kotal Kahn versus Rain, yeah, and it's just, my favorite thing in the fucking world.
One thing that is kind of lame with, like the flash forwards, though, is when every character from the old game has a child. Or student, you know what
but
I mean?
But when you're fighting to the death all the time, you gotta preserve your legacy or something.
Like I'm fine with Sonya having, like, a child, but Jax also has a child, and they're both in the military.
And that's what I mean, plus Kenshi, plus Kung Lao. Like, it's like everyone has a prodigy.
Have they explained how Kung Lao came back for being, like, fucking...
They have not yet.
Super murdered?
In the dialogue between Raiden and Kung Lao, he just goes, Raiden's like, Kung Lao, where have you been? And he's like,
Because, like,
and
killing a huge amount of the cast at MK9 was awesome.
Awesome.
Right? And then, like you're like, what are they going to do? And most of those people aren't back. But some are, and the ones that are back are some of the ones
dead.
That got killed the hardest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kung Lao got fucking bisected into chunks.
They're going to find a way.
Scorpion is in that trip.
Yeah, he was cool.
Steve Bloom doing Sub-Zero now, and Sub-Zero...
Yeah, Sub-Zero's
like
out of the
guy.
Suit.
He looks like Joel from Last of Us.
Yeah, he's just a guy. He's just an old, tired man. The last time this happened was Soul Calibur 5, where everyone has a kid or a student or a disciple type of thing. And I kind of feel like MK, I'd say don't do it too much, keep it light, and then bring in new characters. But they are doing that in this case. They just have such a huge roster that this is the light version of it.
And like I said, all these hero characters are all a hero character. They all seem like the leader of their own group, and they're a group of those leaders.
That's why it's going to be tough for them to get along and follow Cassie Cage's lead.
I guess so, but they're all a little... Like, when you group them all together in a group, they look a little bland all together.
I mean, you know, the original...
Their costumes are just very, yeah,
but the original cast was like that too, but we just know them because of nostalgia.
No, I just mean like... It's difficult to say, but yeah, I think like saying Young Justice or Young Avengers...
Avengers Next,
yeah. Whatever. I just get that feeling. But overall, the story mode is just... It looks like... I thought the MK9 story mode was epic, you know, to use an overused term. But when I see this and I see marching armies and all this shit, holy crap.
Well, that's it. And they did say we have to go what above and beyond for the next one last time. Because the thing is, don't forget, MK9 story was amazing for fighting games.
Yeah.
Right? That's what made it so, like, landmark and pronounced. And this time around, they're like, we're just going for a video game story. So, yeah, pushing boundaries in ways that, like, other companies can't keep up with, you know? And
hey, Capcom.
Didn't someone at Capcom say, like...
Multiple people at Capcom have said since Netherrealm came up, we get it.
Yeah.
This is awesome. We should do this. And I don't remember where I fucking got this, but I remember somebody telling me that Capcom, like, internally knew that they fucked up with the vignettes in the later games. That, like, that sucked.
Then
MK9 came out and embarrassed them.
I see.
Well, remember, what was the one gigantic negative for Street Fighter 4 where review scores would just take off chunks of numbers?
These animated endings are terrible.
So bad.
And now that we're... And then the lack of animated endings in the follow-up.
Yeah.
But you know what, Wooly? Like... That is, like, haha, laugh at those reviews, but, like, the fact that we're a bunch of assholes that read the Tiamat plot guide, if they did an MK9 or MKX-style story mode for SF5, we will all go crazy.
Crazy. Yeah. Lose our minds. Absolutely. Yeah.
Charlie, where have you been? And then you talk to Charlie.
You know what? If they even did an Exurge-style thing, where it's like, the story mode is just separate.
It doesn't have to be a big, like, cutscene-heavy movie, per se. It just has to get that story, that information out some way.
Or, hell, the fantasy is, like, a combination story mode, world tour mode.
Yes, yes. Don't do Blaze Blue, though. Don't do...
maybe not.
Melty Blood.
You had it right with Alpha 3.
Oh, the world tour?
World tour, man.
Yeah.
But then you switch between characters as you go.
But cutscene pulling out into round one
is super
fucking
good.
Great. Mm. Brutalities, man. Those are interesting. What I expected.
It was still confusing at first because brutalities were a completely other, dumber thing.
Oh, they were so stupid.
They were so stupid.
Everyone was like, these aren't like the old fatalities. This is so stupid.
And now,
you're stupid.
Now they're just ultra enders. They're just quick finish fatalities without the big and circumstance.
I think it was like when we were looking at that news breaking, it still wasn't clear. Then Ed Boon just clarified. It's like, you do a combo, you end with either a throw or a special, whatever it is.
An EX move, it seems to be those combos.
It has to kill an opponent. If it makes its energy, the opponent's energy light bar, just diminish, then it triggers this thing.
This kill.
If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah.
And some people are still like, but I want to do a fatality. Well, then don't do the move.
Yeah, exactly. But it's also interesting because it's almost like, how can we make Mortal Kombat more violent? Well, people that...
Half of all matches are going to end in brutal death.
Because fatalities were not happening. You know?
But what's awesome is that they're quick.
They're super quick. So they're tournament-viable fatalities.
I think they definitely
are. They're quick, and some of them are all fatalities. Like the Raiden... the one where Raiden comes out of your body. Like, he had that in one of them.
Okay, what did you think of Quan Chi's?
Quan Chi's is amazing. There's only one thing I don't like about it.
What?
They need to offset the portal just like 1 foot over to the right. Because I hate that the torrent of blood hits his right shoulder mostly.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah.
Like, it's this dumb visual thing. I think that Quan Chi retains his godlike fatality status.
Yeah. And like Killer Instinct does with Ultra, is like, yeah, you do an Ultra because there's a gameplay benefit, but no one wants to watch the animation. So cancel it out with an Ultra Ender right away, which is what most tournaments do. And this is that, but
same
in a
thing.
Different way.
Yeah. I appreciate fucking Kung Lao Ip Manning your face into mincemeat.
Yep.
That's...
I think Kotal Kahn's where he just takes his saw and just slowly saws you in there.
Yeah.
So,
they're nuts.
When I watched the stream, they were saying, well, you're going to have to do lots of conditions to make these go off. And then Boone on Twitter says, "Nah, just kill people with EX moves." Like, which one is it?
I was saying to Wooly that I really dislike this stream that they do for MKX now, where I thought just those videos of Ed Boon or someone just saying, this is their variations, just a voiceover and just full gameplay.
You remember?
The stream is taking that over, and, like, streams are fun, but these guys...
Those intro videos were great.
Remember way back... Just,
I don't like it as much.
There was the start of this kind of trailer, and it was for Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
Those are the best. Technique started, where it's like, we're going to have a cool voiceover guy, and we're going to show you, like, ten minutes of footage, and it's going to just tell you how these systems work.
And it got me to buy every single fucking game they did it for.
Right? And when MK started to do that, like, that's clearly the template, where, like... This is Quan Chi. This is his bat mode. This is his skeleton mode or fucking whatever. And then just, here's the kind of stuff you can do. Bam, bam, bam. So good. So classy.
And it's a fighting game, so you can't just do a Hunting the Big Daddy trailer.
Right?
You've got to show and explain what's happening. And watching these guys on stream, like, blow through matches and just beat guys till their health is low and then do the command for brutalities is, like, the lamest possible way you could show that, exactly. Like, even we have the decency when we do instant kill things to record it and then cut it all down so that it's watchable.
Yes.
I mean, it's tough. It's a tough thing to have to do that, like on stream live and all that. Like, good job for even attempting to do it, but I think it's a way less effective way to get across hype fighting game shit.
Yeah, it sucks the magic out. Because it's like you and your buddy in training mode, just like, okay, well, we'll do the thing.
What they should do, if they're going to do this to get the hype going, is continue to put out those videos, but just put them out after they do the stream.
That'd be fine. Like
KI.
Just do both. Yeah.
Do both.
KI does the stream, and then they
who's,
do the
Who's doing
trailer.
The KI stream?
It jumps around
from Microsoft to Iron Galaxy. They trade off.
But Iron Galaxy Tender Moments has been doing it
Tender
mostly.
See, well, the thing is, the less fixable problem is that Keats and guys at Iron Galaxy have way more personal charisma than the guys they have doing the MK stream.
That's a big part of it as well.
Like, I'll watch Keats do whatever.
Exactly. Just, like, complain about broccoli. You know, like, for a while introducing Agonos and shit.
Keats is like a troll, so he presents the information and the fighting game character in a trollish way, where he's like, but that's it. Oh! But I can do this!
Yeah.
And he waits for reaction. Show me.
Yeah, he's like, what are the comments saying? Broken, worst character ever?
Okay, good.
Perfect. Yep, nailed it. It's like,
That reminds me, I don't know how, of something that Max said in the stream last night. And I feel bad because I was making a joke and everyone took me super seriously and ran with it. Where they were talking about Be My Vest and all that Simpsons shit, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how to stream, so I asked Max, hey, Max, if I run a stream in which I stay up all night eating 100 slices of American cheese, how do I do it? But no one got it. Like, no one knew what I was talking about. And so now everyone is hassling me to eat 100 slices of cheese.
Have you been up all night eating cheese?
I don't want to eat the cheese, Max. That's my coward back down.
But I'll sing, if Max is listening, I'll sing This Is My Vest anytime. I know all the fucking words. Because I'm a loser who loves Simpsons.
So 17 minutes of footage, and we're still trying to figure out what the fuck is Firewatch.
Did you watch the footage?
No, actually.
You did. Yeah, Pat.
I did not watch.
It was great.
When Matt's like, yeah, so there's this new game. Like, I don't know if you heard about Firewatch. I was like, oh my god.
The giant bomb panel has totally poisoned my idea of what that game is.
What we think it is
after that panel is I don't know what the fuck I think it is.
Because I watched the full 17 minutes.
So what is it?
Take a guess. What genre is it?
First person walk around with adventure game elements.
Yes. Okay. That's what it is.
Yeah.
But it
how come the panel took an hour to tell us that?
Because Jeff just like he wasn't getting the answers he was looking for, and everyone's dancing around and it's like, but what the fuck is Firewatch?
Yeah, Brad's gotta be more on point.
Firewatch has something really important, which is all the great writers from Walking Dead season 1 that left.
Then we're missed.
And we're sorely missed.
Gary Whitta, save us.
It was fantastic. Because the first, like, 2 or 3 minutes, I'm like, what am I watching here? This is just silent gameplay of a guy walking in a forest. And then you're a park ranger.
Yeah.
You work with a lady, your boss, that works in a watchtower way, way, way. You can always see the watchtower on the horizon.
I love that shit. And you can move, I absolutely love.
You can move your cursor to the watchtower and always be able to take your walkie-talkie out and say, hey, what's up? And have running conversations with her. And the dialogue is so fucking just natural sounding, clever. Well,
there would be no game if not for the writing.
Did the gameplay that this just came out, is that the one with the kids with the boombox?
Yes.
Okay, because like hearing descriptions of those interviews in which like they didn't even think that people would just take the boombox and walk into the forest.
That's what happened.
So then they had to and that's a scenario they did not anticipate. So they had to write new dialogue for the kids. I'm like, why is that guy just stealing our boombox?
Yeah, because like they're expecting you to just do whatever with it there.
And you get to those kids, and then you have a couple of dialogue choices to say. And what I like about these dialogue choices is that they don't seem to, like, they're just dialogue. It's not they're going to remember this. It's not that, oh, this is going to lead to this. It's just different things to say just for fun.
And you kids are jerks.
And you can say, like, these two girls are skinny dipping, and what I like about this game, you cannot see anybody's face. You never see what anybody looks like.
How do they manage that?
The girls are way, way off in the distance in the middle of the lake, skinny dipping.
How do they manage that with people you're talking to right next to you?
And you're always on a walkie-talkie. In this gameplay trailer, at least, you never see a single person in 17 minutes.
Okay.
I like it. If that's a thing, I like that
idea. That's a very weird slant. That makes me like, huh.
The girls are just silhouettes, and they're calling at you, and they're like, hey, pervert, what are you, skeezing on us? And you can say, no, or the fireworks are illegal, or yeah, I am. And the guy goes, no. And then he's like, you can't use these fireworks here. And they're like, we can use whatever we want. And then the guy just takes the fire. You can just pick up all the fireworks. And one of their dialogue choices is, I'm taking your shit. He goes, I'm taking your shit. The alcohol, all of it. Ah, motherfucker. And he just walks away, picks up the boombox and throws it. And it crashes against the wall. And I'm like, what is this game?
Well, that is the question.
It was so interesting. And this just skyrocketed up to my, like, I need to play this.
Is Firewatch Frog Fractions 2?
Most likely to be Frog Fractions 2. So everyone that played that demo, because this footage is out now, but everyone that played it at PAX that got a chance to walked away. No, we couldn't, because the lineup was... Well, I think one is behind closed doors.
Yeah.
But two, it was impossible to get your hands on it, you know? Like, even for the people that were going behind closed doors.
And, like, it looks really amazing. Like, it's just, like, strong, strong visual design. This is what I was going to tell you. You know who the art director of this game is?
Mm-hmm.
The guy that designed the Boba Fett Star Wars Mondo poster in your room.
Oh, shit.
The guy that did a lot of stuff Ollie like
Moss.
That. Yes.
Ollie Moss is a fucking god.
He's like the art designer, like the art director or something like that.
Holy shit.
It's in the Gaff thread about this.
That's a huge deal.
I told you about the huge deal.
Have you ever seen a genre evolve as fast as the adventure game has?
Oh, shit, you're right.
The return of the adventure
game. No, yeah, the modern adventure game.
Because they died for a good 15
years. Let's take like the Monkey Island remake or the newer Sam & Max's.
Or even the Back to the Future.
Back to the Future. To Walking Dead. To Dear Esther Amnesia Machine for Pigs, and to fucking this, like it's a bolt of lightning.
And I think a part of the reason why is because now that like we are figuring out how to make these mechanics work with what we've known about movies for so long, all you're doing is you're going, I know the end result.
Yeah.
I want it to be cinematic. All I have to do is connect the dots and work backwards to instead of building up into something I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Which was what the old adventure games used to be.
And looking at it, if I was to give it a tone, it's like mystery? It's not really horror, and there was no like... But there was like... I was telling you about earlier, Willie, that you see a guy, and he's got a flashlight, and it's dark now, and he's pointing at you. He's on top of a ridge, but since the light is pointing forward and it's dark, you can't see the dude, you can just see a silhouette. And then your walkie-talkie prompt comes up. You don't have to press it, but you go, there's a guy looking at me. And then your boss goes, okay, a guy. Is he doing anything else? No. He's just up there looking at me. And, and then he goes, "What? Hey. Oh, he's gone." And she goes, good job. That's that encounter. And I'm like, who the fuck was that?
I have a feeling...
The tone is eerie Indiana.
Like, it's... It's...
Matt's face! You are frozen! He is frozen!
I
put one on the board!
Put one on the board for Wooly for a fucking eerie... Oh my god! Like, the fact that you made that reference and the fact that you even remember it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
It was this YTV fucking show that was just...
Eerie.
Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Because it was more funny than scary, but it was weird. It was just creepy and
odd. Yeah, the way you're describing this is, like, kind of a mystery, but with just, like, the smallest hint of...
Slightly unsettling.
Made it more interesting.
Slightly unsettling.
I'm really looking forward to this.
And then you beat the game and it's not Fire... What's it called?
Firewatch.
Firewatch. And it's like, no, it's Firewalk. And it's Firewalk with me. Firewalk, and it's like, oh god, this is it. This is actually secretly season 3 of Twin Peaks.
It's directed by Swery.
Oh god.
He's never watched it, though.
He's never watched it.
He directed it, but he never watched it.
That's challenging.
They're making Gunvolt 2, moving along.
Yep, moving along.
There's this game called Hunger.
Why do you even put that on the doc?
it's technically news, but unless you change the game in every way, except the art style...
To get up to that high platform, you gotta jump off the Goomba's head.
Okay, well, I'm good, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's a game called Hunger that looks really interesting.
And what was it?
So,
give me that revelator that you had during this trailer.
Matt pops it up, and we're watching this trailer, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, yeah, this looks like it's got an interesting tone and mood, but, like, the visuals and the movement, this looks like what Little Big Planet should have been.
Okay.
And
it uses the same, like, physics and the jumping, but, you know, it's not like a heavy platformer or whatever.
And you get to the end of the trailer and you see the name of the company, which I forget. It was a weird name.
Ethereal or something.
You jump on Wiki. What have they done?
What else they've done?
They've ported all of the Little Big Planet games.
They ported Tearaway to the PS4. They did a lot of Little Big Planet DLC. But they're not Media Molecule, they're somebody else.
Yes, and it's like, so now you just can't unsee it, you know? This is their dive kick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've worked on games like this for so long, we're just making one.
And it's kind of like a stealthy platformer, and there's gigantic beans, pig-type men that are chopping up in things in a kitchen.
Fantastical adventure.
Yeah, it looked really creepy, though, too. Like a giant eyeball inside a door, like really weird stuff.
So yeah, I dropped the trailer in there. It looks really interesting.
Did you guys talk about Slane at any point, other than you saying you backed it?
Not yet, because that happened between the last podcast and now.
I only have two things to say about that game.
Mm-hmm.
That game looks like visually amazing.
Yeah.
And that is the most reasonable Kickstarter goal I have ever seen.
Like $8,000?
It is like $12,000 fucking dollars, yeah. And it's like the game is done.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The game is completely finished.
I backed it.
We just need the $12,000
This is a PlayStation 1 port of a PC game from 96.
Right.
That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like Castlevania and Legacy of Kain 1.
There's moments where you have to wait for the CD to load.
Yeah, I hope so.
You know, like, that's exactly
that game looks good.
Yeah. I saw Liam and Matt have backed. What's this? Yeah.
Like, I saw, hey, Matt's backed this. I'm like, I should check it out.
That's pretty much how this goes these days.
The very first thing I see is, like, 9,000 out of 12 what?
Yeah. And then you scroll down, you see that the guys are making it are industry vets. And
I know. It's just like half the shit I back, like half fucking $1 million.
Well, that's like Strength of the Sword as well. Like, like 14, like 18 or whatever 14. Is nothing, you know? That was cool. Y2K is the other thing that's popping up where I'm watching.
Again?
Y2K.
You thought we were done.
The postmodern RPG. Which, if you need to look this up, you don't Google Y2K, you Google Yeek, because it's Y-I-I-K.
Ooh. Yeah, it's a little tough.
It's a little.
I would not have called my game that.
I think copyright reasons are might have been.
And this is a game that you can't possibly really describe.
No. Oh, this is the fucking hipster game.
Yeah,
hipster RPG.
Oh, I saw this. I don't know how I feel about this.
I think it looks fun.
I don't like hipster me being the main character.
Yeah,
that's fucking you holding some records, all right.
Like, it's a little too much.
But no, I liked it. And while I was watching this trailer, I was like, okay, so when's the Kickstarter going up? Oh, they're just making it. This is just a trailer to say, hey, we're making this game. There is no Kickstarter.
Yeah.
That's
you
like,
look at, you
right,
look at,
games
it looks
are
like
made
the type of game where,
that would be asking for that. Right. Yeah, no, but it's like, no, wait, games are being made by people sometimes.
Like, I feel like Kickstarter has become a genre.
Yeah.
Because, at, like, because part of that is adjust your expectations to the number that they hit.
Yeah, like almost like not even a genre, but like a platform.
Yeah,
you know, a console. It's
and
like
there's some there's some way far out there outliers like Eternity, where you should expect Eternity to be what that's supposed to be is if Kickstarter didn't exist. Probably has more shit, but then there are everything within a certain range. You're like, oh yeah, Kickstarter. This is a nice indie game kind of thing.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. So.
And yeah, I was kind of shocked that this is not a Kickstarter game.
They're just making it, man.
I changed the main character's hair color, and not my hair color.
No, never.
Because all I have to do is put the glasses on, and I'm...
Start wearing plaid.
No. No.
You just wait.
Like it or not, you're a few years away from that anyway. we've also got the new announcement that fucking Joe to the M.A.D., has a new game coming out, and
based
this,
on the ancient wet work style delayed battle chasers.
I feel like Joe Mad, like he never even came up with any new ideas. He just is still trying to get the old ones.
I never looked it up, but why? Why was battle chasers like a year per issue? What was the deal? Do you know?
Probably a shitty publisher, man.
Because Joe Madden was a giant comic superstar at that time, and that comic sold like a million copies every issue.
Whenever
it just stopped.
Whenever you're hearing production things like that's where it goes.
Who was it? Was it Image or it was Wildstorm? It was Jim Lee's Wildstorm. I read about it in this article, but yeah. So, Airship Studios. That's the name of the.
Let me get
it's
the
it's got an interesting name. It's like Airship something. So this is his new company, and like you kind of hope for Darksiders maybe, but no, he's like he wants to make Battle Chasers a thing again, wants to have like a new comic book, and wants to have a game be the other pillar to bring it back.
If this is coming out and Cannon Busters is happening at the same
time, there's cross promotion.
Yeah, we're good. We're so good. This future. Yeah. That brings us back to old PSM covers.
Yes, exactly.
what a specific time nexus.
Because when PSM was coming out with all those covers, I didn't have a PlayStation 1 yet. So, but when I saw those covers, I would still buy the magazine. They would actually get me to buy.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So Joe Mad and former Vigil team devs are now... Airship Studios,
and the game is like
Airship Syndicate.
Airship Syndicate, yeah, it's way cooler. So, like, the game is just announced to exist. They have like nothing done. They're just saying like this is what we're going to be doing for the next couple of years.
And so, that promotional artwork is fucking. There's a sword.
Yeah.
There's dude.
Garrison, I believe, is the main character.
We're in
Red,
there.
Red Monica. Which I always think it's a weird combination of Red Sonja and Monica from Friends.
Red Sonja.
It's a very different type of person, you know? But yeah, it looks really cool. Like, I hope that, like, you know, gets off the ground and, like, games start getting made because it's, like, way off in the future.
Well, let's see if they make a Kickstarter.
Yeah, they said it's an option we're looking at.
I have a slight...
You look like you have something to say.
I have a small news update to something I was talking about earlier about Revelaton's co-op on PC.
Oh yeah, what?
There's an official statement by a Capcom rep posting on GAF saying, we're looking at providing potential solutions as to local co-op. And then underneath that is, We will also be adding in the online co-op later, which I did not know it did not ship with online co-op on PC either.
Yeah, that's been known for a while.
And this is in the body of it is how the latest patch broke performance on PC. Mm. And this whole post is underneath the guy explaining how he modded in local co-op in a day.
Yeah.
Sick.
So fucking good job, Capcom.
Remind yourself of this, though, is that when you have a giant company and you have one guy is unrestricted, can do whatever he wants. And when people say Durante or some guy did this, that's because they can. They have no red tape to go over. Fortunately, companies working in such a way that there is one guy that can do it. But he can't.
Yeah, but they
he'll get fired.
They advertised that this feature.
No, no,
be
of course, of course. But when you say one guy was able to fix it in like a day, it's like they could, but they can't because there's so much red tape and bureaucracy.
Yeah, but I don't
shit.
Care.
But does it have a land mode?
LAN?
Yeah.
What?
Probably
no
not.
No one does LAN anymore.
No, because it's not a thing anymore.
That sucks.
Sure, but it's like throw away these HDMI cables. I want composite always.
No, but this is for a different. It's the ability to do a form of co-op.
Here's the deal, Willie.
That's not the same screen.
Willie, you completely lost that battle with StarCraft 2.
Yeah.
Like
why
StarCraft 2 does not allow LAN?
But I don't understand why it died. That's
they want you going through
thing.
Their online infrastructure.
They want you to go through their online infrastructure.
That's it.
It's
and
the
with
same
Star-
thing why
and with StarCraft 2, that's like super outrageous.
Old classic Xbox supported LAN games.
360 supports fucking LAN,
but just no one fucking boogers.
I brought a goddamn 360 to your house and we played Gears of War 1 LAN.
Yeah.
Whatchamacallit? There's even now there's like that Gundam game X versus Full Boost where you connect to PSN. To just get online into the match with each other.
Yeah, it's dumb bullshit.
And then it's just like, no matter how shit your connection to PSN is, if you're in the same room next to each other, you're connecting. It's like it's almost like a LAN anyway. So you're fine.
You know, I know this doesn't have anything to do with, but you mentioned shit connection to PSN. They need to do something about the fucking PS3 store. It's so fucking bad.
It's too late.
It's too late.
Dude, when I went to go buy Undernight in Birth, it took me 3 attempts.
Of course it does.
Because the store crashed
my
twice.
Yes.
Oh, I never had my store crash.
My store crashes one out of 4 or 5 uses.
Damn. For me, it seems to be one of 2 on my end.
Then
it's
again,
really bad.
It's the worst I've ever seen.
And don't try to go too fast, because that exacerbates
things. I know exactly what I want.
Is this recently, or is this like first since forever?
Ever since
ever
they
since
changed it to the PS4 store
ever
format.
Since I bought
okay,
the console.
Because when I bought a bunch of shit on PSN on my PS3, which was like, I don't know, like a dozen things, this was like months and months ago. So
no, it's been over a year that ever since they changed to the new layout.
Yeah.
Like you, Wooly, Matt, you guys used to work in testing. You must remember what the old PlayStation store used to look like.
No, I never tested
that thing. Ran fine, and it was hard to find shit.
Yeah.
This one, it's easy to find shit,
but
it crashes every
run.
Time
exactly.
You use it.
Yeah, no.
It's gotten to the point where I use the website exclusively for PS3 stuff.
It sucks when the store is like, because there's that. I don't like the eShop at all.
No, it's garbage.
It's
so bad.
On it, like the only thing that's really doing it right is like Steam.
Well,
and
of
course,
Steam's doing the digital store.
Sure,
right.
and like the 360 one is like, it's fine. It's like sometimes it can be a bit annoying, but
I
for the
you
most
try
part,
to find Marvel costumes and being totally unable.
That got annoying because the problem is when you're putting every fucking downloadable icon and whatever in the same space without filters.
Yeah,
it's like the
360 store is like this workhorse store that was always easy to navigate.
Here's what it is.
And
this 360,
what you wanted.
If you Bing for shit in the 360 store, it's garbage.
Just go kill
it. But if you go manually through their channels, it works.
I feel like the PS4 store's like text search thing where you pick a letter and you move forward, that actually works really well.
So
me and
Liam came to a realization that the best store is the Wii, like the Wii shop.
Have you seen it? Have you ever seen it?
The original
Wii
one. When we went back to it, we're like, oh my god, this is so easy to get everything. Like, it's slow and whatever.
It's a slow website.
Yeah, but it's so easy to get everything you want. Like, and it's like,
Liam came over. I didn't like going to page 7 of Action Classics.
Yeah, but there's not that many.
Liam,
so it's fine.
Liam came over when we, for episode 1 of Super Mario RPG, and I was like, oh, I might as well download it. And, we got there, and it had been, years since either of us had seen it, and we just laughed. And
yeah, that's basically what we did.
And fucking laughed. It is, the 3DS eShop is bad, but this is embarrassing on a scale, this was the active shop up until, 2011.
You know what? The 3DS eShop is the best version of the eShop.
And that's the saddest thing in the world.
The double rows of just new shit and relevant categories.
Disgusting.
That's the best one, you know?
It is the lowest amount of screen real estate you could possibly get, and that's because the resolution is so low that if you were to make the icons any smaller, you would not be able to read the text.
But what I'm saying is that, while embarrassing from a presentation standpoint,
it took two seconds to find what I wanted. There's nothing on there I want.
I thought there was, and even I was like, this is the Wii Shop is the worst, and there's obviously virtual console games are worth getting, and Liam would just go through every page, no, this game's really good. No, this one's really one. This one, you fight ghosts. You like ghosts, right, Matt? And I'm like,
Every single time Liam would come over to record Mario RPG, there would be 45 minutes beforehand because we'd have to load up the Wii.
Yeah.
We'd have to load up the Wii U, and then we'd have to load up the Wii internal. And that process of seeing the front end and then the other front end and seeing the virtual console stuff would always spark a screaming at my television going, what are you doing? What are you fucking doing? Why did you restart the whole virtual console?
The Wii Shop is just a store with only impulse buy items at the end of the counter. It's a giant impulse fucking section.
And right when we started to get tired of screaming at the Wii U front page as to restarting the virtual console, that's when we started to notice, wow, man, Meme Run just won't leave. Meme Run's there forever. Meme Run can't be stopped.
That is amazing.
That is a fucking eyesore. That is the Warawara Plaza is the least forward thinking thing in the world that this can happen. Willie, are you familiar with
that? I don't know what you're talking about.
Do you know what fucking...
I'm sure a lot of people don't.
Do you really want to go into this?
You know what fucking Meme Run is?
No.
It's a guy with a troll face and with Reddit memes going, running sideways and jumping over bullshit.
Wait, I'll cut it. This is an Xbox Live indie, the worst of Xbox Live indie games, the worst.
Yeah. The worst.
And it somehow has tons of traction.
And it made it onto the Wii Shop.
It makes it everywhere. People talk about it.
The difference is that it sold well enough that now it's on the front. You know what's not on the Warawara Plaza? Mario Kart 8. You know what took its spot? Meme Run. It's been there for months.
Okay.
And every time you turn your Wii U on, there it is.
I don't have it, but...
And it's just this fucking,
What's happening?
What is going on with the software on this system that this trash...
Someone figured out the fucking... they figured out how to do it.
Imagine if you turn on your Xbox, 360...
And silver dollar.
For a full year, the tab that said games was Alderman or some shit.
Well, when I opened up my Steam page not too long ago, it kept pushing this one silver dollar game on the front page. But it's their one game that's actually good, One Finger Death Punch, who lots of people play.
Yeah.
But I was still I saw a silver dollar logo, and I freaked out for it.
They're in Ontario, man. We can go find them.
No, I don't want to.
We can. No. Unreal Engine 4 is now free.
It's free.
Hey, everyone, use this engine that not a lot of people have made not a lot of great games with.
Now, you can't hear me, but I'm drawing an asterisk in the air. It's free until your game ships. And then they take 5% of your money.
Which is fine.
Which is totally fine.
Because that engine used to be crazy expensive. And my questions are, A, are they basically going, hey, we're not getting as much revenue on this, let's pull a Unity.
Yeah. B, which has been a fucking smash success.
Absolutely. Yeah. Run away.
And deservedly, because that engine apparently can do anything.
It can do anything. 2D, 3D, unit.
On every single platform.
Indie, triple, great. And secondly, does this free UE4 come with the amazing team support that you would get when you're a customer of
Now, to be fair, one of the things of Unreal Engine 3 is their horrible, lousy support.
When they, the complaints that dudes like Silicon Knights would have against them and shit like
now,
that.
Now, there's other companies, but early on, it was pretty bad.
But what this became, as far as we know, was like the, like, okay, depending on how big and whatever your company is, you got the license, we'll send the dude down to figure shit out.
I feel
out,
like I should fill in a slight amount of background on that concept. The reason why support was so bad in the early life cycle of Unreal Engine 3 was because it wasn't Unreal Engine 3. It was Unreal Engine 2.5. And they said, we'll fucking sell it to you, BioWare or Silicon Knights, but this engine is not done until we ship a game with it. And then Gears of War 1 happened, and then support
also improved. Their priority was making games.
Yes.
At that time.
And now that they don't make games anymore, they, like, what happened to the ideology of the engine isn't done until we ship something on it? I don't think it's going to be... Fortnite is far away.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, like, does a team that made a game with that even exist at Epic right now? Like, who would even support you? Yeah, but who would even... What would the support team for your Unreal Engine 4 game even be? Like, because no one's making games on it, right?
Like, we just...
Internally.
Fucking, like, Exert just showed the world you don't need to.
Yeah, you know? It's fine.
I don't know. But there
Exert
is.
Exert uses Unreal Engine 3.
Yeah, it does. Correct? Yeah.
Yeah, so the only game that I know that we've played that uses Unreal Engine 4 is that fucking
Daylight.
Horror game. Yeah. That horror game that I struggle to remember anything of as the days go by.
You know what I remember about it?
What?
It's Daylight, a game that is visually ugly and totally unimpressive on everything.
From every standpoint.
Is the game, more than any other thing that has happened, that heated up and made my PC the loudest it has ever been.
That's true, I forgot about that.
It was audible on the recording before I turned it down, because it actually made my fucking CPU, internal, and GPU fans all hit max
the
instant it loads in, and that game looks like shit, and it didn't even run at a solid 60, and a lot of that is probably on the developers.
Optimization.
Right?
Yeah.
But that was the worst possible, like, first introduction to an engine. Remember, if you've been playing PC games, Unreal Engine 3 is the best. You know why? Because your toaster's going to run that at 300 million frames a second.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With in 4K, with all the, like, you know.
I thought the reason your PC struggled to fucking run that was to load in all that amazing Chobot-written dialogue.
Oh, yeah, that writing was so good. Yeah. Oh, man. I feel like there's so many named writers in this business that are just terrible. Like Birch and Chobot and, well, Gary Wood is cool, but he didn't get his start in game writing.
Yeah, it's true.
He wrote movies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wrote some bad movies, but...
Oh, yeah, but a bad movie's way better than a good game.
Many a time, not even a lie.
Yeah.
Due to zero demand, Clay Fighter Remastered.
Now, you say zero, but we have a show that specifically could use this.
Well, you know what?
I'm not saying I'm ungrateful.
Okay.
I feel like I should mention that, like, I've played a lot of fighting games. I've never even seen Clay Fighter in person. Like,
oh, wow.
Like, that's how little I care about this.
Well, get ready this week.
Ugh, you fucking bastard.
My history with...
Hey, Max!
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Shut up.
Can you beat whatever the boss is?
So,
balls?
My history with Clay Fighter has always been the same. It is, the game comes out, I rent it for a weekend with my brother, play through it once, and fucking kick it back. And
now,
that's the end of Clay
Fighter. I popped in Clay Fighter 63 and a third, and Clay Fighter 63 and a third is funny for two reasons, and it's why it's called Clay Fighter 63 and a third, which I always thought was clever.
But once you get past that...
Because that should break pre-cert, should it not?
No, because 64 was up to the dev.
It was really up to the dev?
Yeah, you do what you want with it.
Okay. That and also, well, that game has the most missing animation I've ever seen in a fighting game, where it just goes from 0 to 60. Like, you're in animation frame 1 of a punch, and then the next frame is the impact.
So the fucked up thing about 63 and a third is that...
it's got tons of shit.
The screenshots made it look like this is the next level of clay fighting quality.
But then...
but the actual game looks worse than the Super Nintendo game in a bunch of ways.
Yeah, in a bunch of ways. But the problem is that the game has ultra combos. It's got several super streets. There's a lot of shit. There's cancels in that game. It's ridiculous
the
amount of
shit.
But the
stages were just these shitty low-poly 3D things
that
they dropped the clay sprites onto. And the mesh fell apart so hard.
Yeah, it's just you're in a level that's hovering in like a black void of game space.
Oh god.
The good old Vaseline
filter, because everyone needs Vaseline Boogerman and Vaseline Earthworm Jim.
Dude, you're gonna not like Jet Force Gemini when you pop it back in.
I'm afraid.
I've been telling you about this forever.
I'm so scared. I'm not even fighting it anymore.
Anyway, the sculptor's cut of Clay Fighter is what had characters that were, it was a Blockbuster exclusive. And characters that were shown when that game was being shown, like Clay Fighter 63 and a third, they cut those characters out. One of them was like a rabid dog, Lady Liberty.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they made a Blockbuster exclusive and released that. Apparently, that game like looks better visually. I don't know.
All I want to know is like, is if they can just. It's like KI in the sense that the most iconic thing is the announcer.
Yeah.
Right. Ichabod Clay wins the battle.
Bad Mr. Frost. He's like, oh, bad.
And do you remember their Decide the Destiny version? Ladies and gentlemen,
get ready to crumble.
Here are the combatants for this extravaganza.
Yeah, that's the first one.
Versus the Blob.
I really like the Battle Bunny, the Arnold Schwarzenegger rabbit.
From part 2?
T-Hoppy or something.
Trigger Hoppy. Trigger Hoppy.
Okay, yeah. Clay Fighter 2 has one of the best intro cinematics ever, where it's just like, it shows the Hoppy on the fucking bike, exactly like the Terminator 2 poster.
You would fall for this.
Clay Fighter 2, Judgment Clay! We're back! And it's a C2, and it's two metal
clanking
sheets,
together.
And they go, I'm like, it's like...
Yeah, you would mark out that.
I would have marked out super hard, and I did, and I'm proud of it.
You're marking out right now.
I am, thinking about it. I get hyped thinking about it now.
It'll have its place.
We talked about this. Isn't on the first podcast we talked about a story about how Interplay was coming back
in skeleton form only?
Yeah,
yes.
Like you guys brought up Interplay was coming back. I'm like, Interplay's dead. Someone bought the name.
They come back every
and then they
years.
Said we're coming back, and then they didn't.
Yeah,
and then they said like 4 years later.
Yeah,
that they're coming back, and then they didn't. And then, like, 10 years
back.
Later...
Wait, no, just give me a minute.
Well, we were talking about this before. It's like when Black Isle was coming back. And it's like every single fucking person that worked at Black Isle either works at Obsidian, In Exile, Harebrained, or quit the industry. So how the fuck exactly is Black Isle... It's just two guys that bought the name?
That's like when Microsoft says, oh, there's going to be some Rare stuff. Rare's coming back with some new games. I'm like, with who? Like, well, the janitor that was working there when they were making Banjo, he's there.
We've kidnapped Klob's family, and he can't leave.
And don't forget the image that they used, too. Like, they had the audacity to show you MDK, Earthworm Jim, and, like, all the other fucking, like, classics right there going, like, we're coming back.
It's like if...
Boogerman.
To people that aren't, like, I'm not as familiar with these developers, because I didn't have a 64, stuff like that. A lot of people weren't into the Interplay or Black Isle days. So the example I can think of that would get this across to people is if Capcom said, we're restarting Clover Studios.
Yeah.
Right?
Nobody.
And you're like, what? Everyone who worked at Clover quit and formed their own company. Who the fuck is Clover?
No, it's coming back, though.
Why are you even using the name? What the fuck
No, look, it's Beautiful Joe. It's Okami.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, man.
This is a studio that you personally closed down because they disappointed
and
you.
And then everyone quit. There it is. It's the first sign of the sleepy cast after last night's shenanigans.
Hey, we kept it up, man.
I went to bed at 8:30 this morning.
We kept up the charade. But you want to talk about shit coming back? Well, I guess now is the time I have to take the podium and speak out.
Okay.
Now is the time then. Reboot The Guardian Code, Rainmaker Entertainment.
We talk about this every day.
Presented by Michael Heffron, follows the adventures of four typical teens whose lives are upgraded in a big way when they discover they are next-gen Guardians. Super cool heroes that stream into cyberspace so they can defend humanity from deadly computer viruses and malware. Bob, yeah. Dodd, and Enzo will be a part of the series, but they will not be the main characters.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to explain what happened to Damon.
Virtua. Virtua Quest.
Is that just going to be a footnote? Hey, Bob, what about Damon? Ah, it was some shit.
No, well, your analogy was, now I know how Transformers fans feel.
That's exactly it. Pause so I can chew out Pat for a minute. What did you just say?
Damon, didn't that just not end?
Did you not see Damon Rising? There was a fourth season / two movies called Damon Rising, followed by My Two Bobs, that wrapped up
the story. Wraps it up!
Yeah, but... YTV split it and put it in weird ways and everyone missed it? Like a lot of people did.
Because I was way into it. Checked it all the time and never saw it.
There is an unbelievable movie called Damon Rising that is the end of that arc that you need to see if you haven't seen it.
Okay, well.
The Transformers thing.
And, well, basically it's like, fuck yeah. So, like, obviously I understand that things are not going to be the same when you grow up with a thing and then they need it for kids again and whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like, we're going straight to Optimus Prime is hanging out with a bunch of Japanese kids.
So,
and they're the real heroes.
So the thing here is that always hits you when this happens is you're like, yeah, I understand kids nowadays. You know, it has to be toned down. It can't be catered directly to me. But,
no, it can't be.
But the takeaway. Because there's always the, like, what are you complaining about? It's for kids, right?
Yep.
But the takeaway is not that it's for kids. The takeaway is that the kids of today have shit taste.
There you go. Thank you. Because back in the day, when the original was for kids, it was still good.
Yes.
You know, that being said, I'm calling this way the fuck out because... You know, it's been, what, 8-9 years in the making now, and after trying to drum up the interest for the money...
Thanks for all your support. Here's the thing you didn't want.
We finally get here, and this is what we get an announcement about. We need to see the end results, so I'm you know, bated breath, as you can imagine. But it's probably just going to probably ruin things.
Yeah, probably.
Or it'll never come out.
The thing, Willie. You're in a position very similar to me. It's a slightly different timeline. No, actually, the timeline's pretty close to the way I feel about Evangelion, right? Even if this is the worst retcon-y, soul-destroying garbage that you've ever seen, because that original series is complete and was complete for like 10 years, nothing this new stuff can do can hurt you.
You can just say, fuck it.
That's the bad shit. Yep. I'm going to ignore it. Like, I feel like people can do that with Star Wars even.
Yeah.
Because that was like 20 years.
The only thing is that it did end on a cliffhanger.
I did.
But...
Well, then you're fucked. Fucking erase everything I just said.
No.
Because it didn't end complete.
Yeah, that's right.
Evangelion is the perfect example, because have you ever seen any more definitive anything than a movie called The End of This Thing?
That is definitive. That is pretty definitive.
Right?
But in my case, what you get is an ending that is either a cliffhanger or a bad ending.
No.
I interpreted it as a bad ending. Yeah. And not bad in the sense of quality bad.
Yeah.
Bad in the sense of, oh, things don't go the right way.
Okay.
And so I'm okay with that.
Because, like, Twin Peaks is in this scenario.
Spoiler alert, a million years later, Megabyte fucking wins.
Awesome. Well, they're it's not
great.
Well, newsflash for you, they can't continue that story thread.
Well, yeah.
Really.
Or unless they go, here's what we did about him.
Yeah.
You know,
that would be the worst. Oh. Off camera.
You know what's stupid about the idea of...
Use Soul Reaver voice clips to make it work.
Shit.
Of having a remake
have a man
thing.
Sit there and read the story to you on a chair.
Having a remake thing where they're like, oh, they're hanging out with young kids. Enzo! was a young kid. Just do the same thing. You can have Matrix. You can have a cool guy there, but you're already set up for kids to like you.
I don't know if Gavin Blair is going to be involved on this, but the Mainframe guy, of which I want to call them Rainmaker because they changed their name back to Mainframe, but you're not Mainframe anymore.
No, you're the Barbie CG factory.
You're Mattel's bitch is what you are. You are fucking... I'm sorry.
That's a call.
Yeah, well, they made like 50 of those movies. Yeah.
You know, hey, you saved Max Steel. Good job, guys. You wrapped up Max Steel in a classy... Anyway.
I can just see...
There's a bunch of butthurt Max Steel
fans. I can just see, like, a bunch of people in an office, like, their ears prick up. It's like, oh, Wooly's talking shit about us. Oh, no.
Well... Like, I feel that
the
I'm...
reboot signal.
I'm allowed to, man.
You can feel Wooly's hate Cosmos.
I am allowed.
Are you wearing a piece of reboot thing on you right now?
No, I'm not.
Okay, well, because usually you are.
That's an off day.
So, I'm in my funeral attire. So this
Wooly's working on some dumb bullshit where he's got to make logos of us. But, like, the logos of us are just logos of other properties.
Well, what do you want us to do? What do you want us to do?
Like, I'm just trapped. Punisher.
Maybe if we weren't idiots that used other things as our brand, you know?
I know.
But it's not even brand. It's just like, I always had that anyway, and you always wore that anyway, and it just became a thing.
I know, it's just a funny story.
You know, but,
I got lucky. I just got fire in a fist. That's public domain.
Your fighting game victory icon is just a Punisher skull. It's like, but that's the Punisher, that's not you.
I like him though.
Whatever. Anyway. This fucker just comes on mic and is talking about how the new series is gonna be more like the first and second seasons, where things were a bit more lighthearted and fun.
That's fine.
Unlike the third and fourth seasons, which got a bit darker, which were known as the fan favorites. Now, here's the...
Does he say that?
Yes.
What?
Now,
that's where it gets confusing.
That's why I can't, like, deal. Because it's like, why would you say... the fan favorites.
Like, and you're admitting that you're aware that you're sacrificing quality for appeal.
He knows! He said it! We're moving on. I can't.
That's fine.
I can't. Digital Foundry. Does resolution even matter?
Yes. Well, and you should know that.
Because that's your deal.
That's your job.
Yeah.
Isn't that the point of the website?
Yes!
Okay, just check. Alright.
I read the article. It's a bunch of horse shit. It's like, well, if we stop focusing on resolution, then we can focus more on anti-aliasing and per-pixel shading and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but you're in a fucking console generation in which the only difference between the two consoles is resolution.
That's like the Stormfront website going, I don't know, everyone's all right, I guess. That's fine. That's not what I subscribe to you for, racist people.
So you're saying you subscribe to Stormfront?
No, I said racist people.
The KKK recently backed down and went, hey man, we're an all-inclusive group, you guys. We're not about that stuff.
Right.
It's like, but
to be fair,
does racism matter?
To be fair,
they were founded on not racism.
No,
what?
That's not where I'm going.
What?
To be fair to Digital Foundry, we may have gone slightly extreme in our comparison here.
I don't know, people that value resolution that high.
We may have gone like this is a dumb thing, and I think everyone, especially Richard Ledbetter, who wrote the article, deserve to be mocked because it's like, yeah, do your job. But I think jumping immediately to clan comparisons might be slightly too far.
Just chain this video card up to the back of your truck.
Oh my god. Oh jeez. Well, it has less gigs in it than it told us. It was justified the whole time.
Can't let this console marry that one.
God, who's gonna even get that line? That series.
Someone. Plague.
Oh, yeah. Fuck Plague!
Right?
That motherfucker is such a... He's such a pissy little baby. You know what he does?
What happened?
He's sends me these cat vines and like puppies and stuff like that.
We get them.
He sent me one at 4:38 in the morning.
Well, you weren't doing anything.
I had gone to bed. I was actually.
You were watching the stream.
Yesterday.
Okay.
It was like a couple days ago. And I just sent him this polite message like, hey, Clay, Eli, can you not send me these at like 4:30 in the morning? Like, I've actually gone to bed and the ping woke me up. Yeah. No reply. And then
hilarious because
he's sleeping.
A couple days later, at 9:38 p.m., he sends me one, and before I can even respond, he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry. Did I wake you, Your Majesty?"
God, I want to see Plague like setting an alarm to wake himself up in the middle of the night to send the picture of Pat. Yeah, then he goes back to sleep.
He sets it on like a time delay.
An auto send.
That reminds me, I have a similar thing where on Skype I have Zone on there.
Oh God!
And Zone says, "Hey Matt, I thought you might appreciate this, but I have some original animation cells from the Hurricanes. I thought you might like them because you're the only person that's ever referenced the Hurricanes." I went, "Thanks, dude, but I think I'm good. Like, I don't really like the show that much." Now, if you got some Street Sharks, we'll take it off you.
Oh, God. That's the best part.
You should get in a Monster Hunter. There's a Street Shark in Monster Hunter.
I bet there fucking is.
It looks exactly like a Street Shark. It's horrible.
The best part about not having internet is that Plague can't get to you.
Can't
find you.
Can't get you.
Dude, I've been talking to him. He got that PS4 and like his travails
with HDMI
in getting that shit online.
I just realized that he's going to hear this and stack up the messages for me for when I come back.
Dude's telling me, like, I got it. I set it up. I'm like, how is it? It took me 4 hours to download the firmware update. I'm like, oh my God.
I forgot about the garbage fucking whatever. It's not Tennessee, is it?
Yeah, it's Kentucky.
The garbage American internet that he has, and it's like, oh my God, the PS4 is the most online console. Like, even
ironically,
the Xbox.
Very ironically,
Okay, here's a scenario. Wooly took that busted hard drive.
I love you,
Clay. And
never
Wooly,
change, man.
And
never
Wooly
change.
Goes, "Hey, maybe I can fix this hard drive for you." And he tries to see how to open up, and it has difficult casing. So you look up a video how to open up a Seagate, whatever.
Yeah.
And you're looking through a couple of videos, and I go, "You'd be hilarious if you came across a really like really funny channel where people show you how to's, but they're stupid and they're for comedic effect." Like, it's like, "Hey, everyone, how to fix this," and then the next scene, everything's on fire or whatever. Imagine you stumble on. Plague should do that. Like, whenever Plague gets a new piece of, like, console technology, he should record the whole thing. All 4 hours. Right. Just put it up there. That would have been a million
subs.
The
Plague PS4 unboxing. Plinkett style.
Yeah.
With, like, farm animals in the middle of the barn,
like
opening it up.
You wouldn't even have to set that up. They're
like,
already there.
You want
to
get meta. He should record himself trying to upload those Dark Souls playthrough videos.
And upload those.
Yeah. Because, like, I'll be talking to him, and it'll be like, "Great, it just fucking failed. Here we go again." It's like, I can't...
Get up with the camera, walk downstairs, go find the donkey running in the tread circle.
Okay.
And, like, spank it a few times.
Make the internet go, donkey.
Plague will answer this later, but unless he's answered, like, either to you guys now. But Plague, just make them 30 minutes and just upload them that way. Why do they got to be an hour and 45 minutes? I watch them.
He has things
background.
To talk about, man.
He's got stuff
you
to
You can
talk.
Cut those things up.
I can't watch it. It's spoilers for me.
Because he wants to. That's the reason.
Because that might help.
Because his fucking method is he sits there and he hypes himself the fuck up.
Yeah.
And then starts like 4 times in a row until he gets the good one. And then he gets the good one, and he goes until it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, "I'm done." And then that's
how professionals do it, kids.
Yeah.
Not like us.
It's all hyped up.
Yeah.
God, we don't get any second tries. We just...
No.
What you get is what... Well, someone in the chat yesterday, when we were explaining the mentality that we were talking about, like the dead mentality recording.
Yeah.
The guy was like, for example... In Drinking the 99 Dragons, you guys ran out of material 8 minutes in, but then just kept recording for an hour.
There's see, there's a wall, and you have to break through that fear barrier.
Yeah, it's
barrier.
Like in Run, Fat Boy, Run.
Yeah, you gotta break through the fear barrier, then you can get to some gold. You can break through
there's
that.
There's something that, like, Max said, and I would like, it's to send this answer out to Max, is like, apparently you guys do PS1 RPGs? How the fuck do you do that? I would have no idea what to do with the dead time. Just talk about bullshit. Yeah. Just talk about bullshit,
all
Max.
Right. All right.
Just talk about, like, whatever.
Well, Willie and I and Liam are doing an LP that's way down the line still yet, and we kind of, we broke through the fear barrier where we're like, we can't talk about this game because there's nothing going on, so just mix Berserk and things.
Just go. Just go places.
Remember that time?
Like, the first session, we were unprepared, we weren't ready,
yeah.
And then we came back going, nah, fuck this game.
Remember that time?
Just go nuts.
He got swung a sword and he killed all the wasps, and the wasps transformed into, like, a dozen dead babies.
Yeah, that was great.
That was fucking nuts. Nuts.
Yeah. if Tails did that, wouldn't that be some shit?
I was about to say something, but I was trying to not get into it.
Ah, well, there's a little...
Whatever, the spin dash isn't over, you guys.
Yeah.
Sega won't let it die.
If you want to write in and tell us about what Spin Dash Quick Looks you want us to do, you can send...
Don't do that!
We don't take requests!
Don't listen to this man.
If you want to ask us about if we're ever gonna... The answer is we're not telling you.
If you have some dumb challenge that we can trick Max into doing,
yeah.
Fucking send it to Max. And say that we said it.
Yeah.
But CC us at...
superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
That's
superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
No, you can't say it like that. People will type at the Gmail.
I was trying to put a flourish.
No, I know, but they will actually do it.
superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
Matt, Pat, this came in from Katie. It was in time for Valentine's.
I saw that. I saw that ages ago. It's super good.
I'd save you before Ashley any day, girl.
The only cool thing she does is say Leon, and that's it.
Yeah.
Good job, Katie.
Yo, I have a Leon piece of trivia to fucking add to this world.
Mm-hmm.
So after last night's stream, like I saw Matt talking to the Hot Pepper Gaming people on Twitter. Mm. And it's like, oh, I'll check out their video. And just check out, hey, here's Leon's voice actor from the recent games eating a boot jalokia.
Yeah.
And he's fine! He's completely fine!
Mm-hmm.
Some people have cast on his stomach.
That dude's a beast!
Spices are tasty, man.
No, dude, he just eats. He's like, I've never had a habanero or anything. I've eaten a jalapeno. Okay. And he eats it. He's like, yeah, it's pretty bad. And just like the longest review they've ever had. With like,
then,
no
then
problem.
And then the voice actor should give an awkward, poorly animated thumbs up to the camera.
Yeah, that's right. So good job, Leon. You're cool.
Okay, we're going to take one from Gil. Gil asks,
ha 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 ha.
Hey, what's up, Scrub Lords? Yeah, I wanted to know if you guys think that a rapper or another performer that uses a stage name, if you discover that their name is actually super fucking nerdy or uncool, does it take away from their cool factor?
No! No, it's the best!
Always, it always takes away
so
from their cool
I'm just
factor.
Gonna, I don't care about the question so much as what's the best examples I can think of.
I don't know, I think Curtis Jackson's a fucking lame-ass name.
No, that's
Curtis Jackson's
cool.
Super black!
Yeah, super cool
That's
name.
The blackest name ever. All right. Super
no,
good.
No, I'm not saying it's not cool because it's black. I'm saying the name Curtis is lame.
No, it's not. No,
I knew a guy named Curtis and he was loser.
No, dude,
no,
Curtis is like
cool
a hood fucking name.
Nah,
we're calling it Curtis,
like, if it was Curtis Fisher, you might have a point. But Jackson helps
Jackson's
elevate.
Cool.
No, but it helps elevate Curtis so it sounds fun.
You know what? Yeah. I think my friend, Curtis wasn't my friend. But this dickbag in high school that I knew just tanked.
Curtis,
he was a stupid idiot.
That. You want to go, like, I'm talking Jean-Paul Levesque. For fucking
Triple H.
No, that's great!
That's
you shut up the
word!
You gotta have some pride where you live!
He's not from here, you stupid idiot!
Jean-Paul Levesque is an awesome name!
It's the worst!
It's really
super
bad.
Good.
And,
Snoop Dogg, Calvin Brode?
Calvin, well, that's cool. His name is fine.
I think there's like a naming cultural thing happening here.
Exhibit is Alvin Nathaniel Jaunier.
Shut up!
And that's like... Oof.
Exhibit, more like Pimp My Ride was a fucking lie!
Dude, we forgot to talk about that!
Alright.
Did you see
right.
that shit?
That was gonna be on the... We forgot to add that to the docket.
So, Pimp My Ride turns out...
Fuck this... Yeah.
Fuck this Earth.
Well, then we need the quotes then. We need to actually pull it up.
That shit was hilarious, though.
Oh, my God.
Another really bad one was, I remember I read it on the internet right before we went to, like, a softball game ahead of the WWE event that was going on, like, years and years ago during the Attitude Era. And it was the CSCF 12 hot dogs versus the WWE superstars. And badass Billy Gunn steps up and he goes, "Hey, Kip Sop!
Kip Sop!
Kip Sop! And your name is specifically got badass in it. You are not badass, sir."
Oh, God, that's a bad one, man.
Kip Sop.
And then sometimes it doesn't even
matter. Also, Shawn Michaels, Michael Hickenbottom.
That's bad. That's pretty bad.
This feels like it's building up to Benedict Cumber whatever's rat career.
Benadryl. Benadryl Cumberpatch.
If Lee was here, he'd knock one of these out of the fucking park with that Kellogg's blueberry shit.
But the real problem is just, it's like, if you have that name, you can hide it. But if you have an old high school photo, like Little John, have you seen Little John's high school? He's
or
a Maryland.
Fucking or
great. He's a snail.
It's great.
It's like a friend of ours.
Pimp My Ride, former contestants reveal that Exhibit's custom cars were just fake or didn't work. Many of the flashy upgrades installed by West Coast Customs and Exhibit's crew made the car worse or were simply taken out after they were filmed on camera. In some cases, they created storylines to emphasize the characters, the character was, or whatever the contestant was, and the reactions they gave on camera were all faked and forced.
This is the worst.
In one case, the dude's car, 2 weeks after the show, just lit up and fucking burned to the ground.
420.
This is the worst. This is the worst. Why does this bother me so much?
I don't know. It bothers me. Like, I literally feel like I was lied to.
Was Pimp My Ride like some cultural touchstone that we all just tried to ignore?
I know I'm fat, but they went the extra mile to make me look extra fat by telling the world that I kept candy all over my seat and floor just in case I got hungry.
Fake Nabisco account.
Yeah, and then eat those cookies off the floor, you fucking animal.
And then they put a cotton candy machine in my trunk.
Wait, what happened with the cotton candy?
I sat there and watched them dump two bags of generic candy out in my car. I didn't want to have candy all over my car. It was completely fabricated for the story.
Now, man, it says something about how, like, the fucking cotton candy machine shot cotton candy all over the place.
Yeah. Oh, I can't find it.
Oh, this is a really big article.
This is the worst.
Yeah, this is a copy from, like, another site.
This is the terrible.
The original is the fucking best, man. It's like, yeah, you were lied to. A part of your childhood, even though it wasn't your childhood,
is ruined. You assume, you look at the car, you just go, oh, that's a really awesome car. I never once thought of the aftermath. Like, I never did. They even have those little bits where they show the person driving the car and it might be like a week later. Yeah, they love their car.
The camera cuts, then they chase after them and pull parts off.
Like, I always wondered, because I don't know anything about cars, so maybe this is like, but I'd always look at it. It's like, we put all this shit, we put the cotton candy machine, we put the video games, like, is there room in the car's guts to physically fit all of this shit?
Guys that make cars must know.
And the answer is no.
Yeah,
they don't.
No, that's a bummer.
I don't know, but I feel really shitty about it. I'm like,
innocence lost.
Because I've watched a million episodes, because usually when you go over to relatives or whatever, it's always on.
Yeah.
Like during Christmas and other like things, it was always on the TV, and I was just forced to watch it.
Like, if you come to me and tell me fucking Pawn Stars is faked, I'll believe you, because it's clearly fucking fake.
Yeah, it's
so fake. That's fine. Right? If you want to come and tell me that Bear Grylls is faked, which it is.
Which it is.
Like, fine.
But what's...
But there was something about, like, joyous enthusiasm of Pimp My Ride.
What's that fucking weird one where they always go find some black family and give them a house?
Oh, that's the Ghost Show.
What?
You know... There's this show...
No, it's Extreme House Makeover.
Yeah.
It's always the most... They go find the black family,
and they give them the house, and then they go, all right, now, guys, do the overreaction for the camera, and dance and fucking do a jive and shit and jive.
But do you know what about that show? Those houses are probably super legit because they don't make a bunch of dumb shit.
I know.
Like cotton candy machines in your toilet.
I just don't appreciate the showcasing. No, but it's a nice gesture. Of course, it's an amazing gesture. But it's like finding out that those houses, they just take them away. And then put them on the market.
Those are all actors.
Yeah, you know, like, well, not the people, not the family.
Well,
everyone else but the family. The family's real, and then they get evicted after the cameras turn off.
Can't afford this house.
Housing market.
Oh, God, what a fucking story.
Hey.
And you gotta imagine that the guy who went undercover to find out all this shit was just, like having the time of his life putting this information together.
I'm gonna bust this shit wide open.
Yeah, he was sitting on two good ones, but he's like, no, there's more.
Pulitzer, here I come!
Scandal of our generation.
All right, we got one coming from Ellis York. Or Mao Guy. I can't read. I'm not sure.
Okay.
This or this. Ellis York or Mao Guy?
Mao Guy.
Anyway.
M-A-O-E.
He asked something that a bunch of people actually were commenting on in the BioFreaks video.
Oh, wow.
Is how did we manage to piss someone off and what happened? Why did someone yell, turn that shit down at the end of the video? Now, this is a weird one because I went back and I listened to it. And in fact, you can hear someone say, turn that shit down before the video ends. Abruptly, might I add. That was the game. No one was here.
Is it credit?
Me?
No, it wasn't.
I'm getting shit for that.
Are you?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes, it was not me. I'm yelling now, though.
Yeah, your voice is totally different.
No, everyone thinks it's me. I'm a fucking bitch.
No, that wasn't... Crying Tina did not do that.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, because
like, Matt's fiance is such a fucking bitch.
I don't know. I don't much appreciate people even assuming that's what it is.
Oh, that's hilarious. But no, guys, no. That was the game itself.
Thank you.
There was something in the credits music. I think it's a sample of like it's supposed to be like a parent. It's like to the kids.
Turn the credits.
There is something about listening to a podcast or a show or whatever, and like. Because your brain internalizes, like, this negative space where this is actually taking place.
And then when
a way-off mic voice booms in, you're like, wait, they're in a real location.
Yeah.
I love that shit.
We use that in Fighterpedia all the time.
Yeah.
Like, let's do this line. Okay, walk way over there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It was the game.
And, like, seriously, all of our girlfriends are, like, super, like, they are supportive of our stuff, and none of them would ever fucking do that. So
They would tell us to turn it up.
This is lore we would like to stomp now, because it's not lore.
It's like, stop doing your job, guys. What? No, man, that's not true. Stop it.
No, we should stop our jobs, though. No. Let's all just become monks.
Do I learn sick ass Krillin moves when I do that?
Depends what place you join up at.
If I can do a fucking Destructo Disc, I'm down.
Destructo Disc is so overpowered.
It stayed
overpowered like the whole series.
But it's not. But when you think about it, the reasons why it's like it's because it's what it is.
Yeah, it's just they set a rule on it, and that rule keeps that thing legit forever.
It doesn't matter how weak of a fireball it is. It's a cutter.
It just cuts. What's it gonna cut?
It slices.
What's it gonna cut? Everything. Oh, well, hey,
yeah.
Then you have that fucking movie where Krillin's got hair and he's fighting Broly, and you're like, get the fuck out of here.
What is your... Andy wants to know what's your... Did I ask you what your favorite accessory for a console was?
No.
Because I feel like we had a similar thing. It was what's your favorite peripheral, I think we did a while ago.
I don't know.
I got nothing. Sorry, this is pretty much the same question.
The hole at the back of the PS2 where the network adapter would go that you can hide your Wii in.
Yeah, that one.
The N64 RAM expansion slot that you could hide your Wii.
That's what I'm getting at. Like every single time I'd see a topic on GameFAQs, I'm 11 years old. I was like, what do you guys do with this slot? I hide my Wii in it. I hide my Wii in it. Also,
how funny. Me too.
My mom would never think to find my Wii in my PS2.
Never look. Like, I like that PS2 network adapter thing's gonna fucking happen.
Juancho wants to know, do you guys have any hobbies?
No.
Like, in terms of hobbies, like collecting stamps? No, I don't think any of us have
No, I doubled down on
the... Like, non-game-related hobbies?
I doubled down on the one hobby to get good at it.
Like bird watching?
And I'm not even that good at it. Watching
birds, Willie?
Arcade stick mechanics, insides, snouts. Yeah, that's still video games.
Fucking...
And you haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, and exactly. I haven't played drums in a while. I haven't fucking done any of that, or, like, this stuff in a while. Like, I don't know. These days, no, not really.
I think Liam probably builds robots.
Yeah, probably.
In his spare time.
I watch TV on occasion.
Okay, so, like, the whole where do we... Like, I want to get into blank how do I start thing. I've stopped taking those questions.
Because it's too broad.
But I'm going to take one final one.
You liar. Listen to this.
I want to get into the Final Fantasy series. Where should I start?
Don't.
Oh, man.
It's a shame that
Liam just dropped off the earth for this one.
Because I'm just not, like, just, the answer is almost,
there nothing else in that question?
That's it.
It's 7. You start with 7.
And there. And for everything else, just start at the beginning, guys. You know, that's it. I want
to. The only reason why this changes to 7 is because 7 is arguably the beginning.
Like, there's a couple of Tumblr-like questions where I was like, I want to get into JoJo. Where do I start? Just click play.
Just go to Crunchyroll click and go to episode
play.
1.
I want to get into IPA. Where do I click play? I want to play Metal Gear. Just start at the first. Like, just start.
Alternatively, start 6 and then end with you finishing that.
Yeah. Sure.
It's another.
Okay, but Final Fantasy, I'll give you the breakdown. 1 is in English, and it's really old, but it's pretty good. 2 and 3 are in various weird states, but they're not that great. 4 is pretty good, but very basic. 5 is amazing. 6 is amazing. 7's amazing. 8's a piece of shit with the best card game ever. 9's pretty great. 10's pretty good. 11's an MMO. 12 is good, but unfinished. 13, you've heard, you know.
Yeah, you know about
I can name on one hand the amount of things that exist where you should start not at the beginning.
Yeah, it's tough. 1, it's rare.
Final Fantasy. 2, Star Wars.
Yeah.
End of list.
Well, no, you should start Star Wars at the beginning.
The beginning.
From air date.
Yes, chronologically.
Yeah, also, if anyone's ever confused by anything that we ever say in terms of starting at the beginning, it's always in term of air date or release.
That's it.
Not in terms of chronology. Yeah. That's a trap.
If you want to get into anything, just start.
Like that Ultra Despair Girls thing or whatever that Liam was talking about with the Danganronpa is a perfect example. That's the 1.5 game, but it spoils the entirety of 2 if you play it in between. Because it's like a side story that assumes you know the events of 2. Because 2 came out before this game. Chronology. It's air date. Always air date.
Air date.
And,
JoJo's pretty good.
We got one from Superboom, who says, to the Wu-Tang Zaibatsu, the Mizza, the Pizza, the Ghostface Wooly, and Old Dirty Liam.
That's good.
That's pretty good. I was scrolling through YouTube and happened to come across a rap artist named Chaos hailing from the T-Dot. I found his music endearing. I bought all his albums and was happy with the results. I was wondering if you have any Canadian artist suggestions. Well, sir...
Maestro Fresh West.
I'm really, really happy with this because, 1, Chaos is my favorite rapper.
Oh, nice.
So you found it. And it it's cool because it turns out that we one of our friends is his cousin. And we randomly just found this out after the fact type of thing. But yeah, you found the one. Chaos is a great recommendation. I'd also say check out Kobayashi. They're a Montreal band and they're super awesome.
Cardinal Official,
yeah.
The Rascals.
Snow. the whole Northern Touch.
The first couple of Swollen Members albums.
Here's all the love for Great Big C.
They're not rappers.
The Grateful Dead.
Yeah, fuck it. I don't know. Yeah, I don't listen to music. I don't know if I can't answer.
So
this.
Just sit there.
I'm sitting.
There's quiet. An obscure.
I was trying to be involved, man.
Well, your answer was embarrassing.
It was. That was the point.
Just say Justin Bieber.
Okay.
Yeah.
Believe it.
I think that's about all of them.
Believe it is just asking for a Naruto Photoshop, isn't it?
Classified is a dude from the fucking the Maritimes, I think.
Okay,
white dude. And he was with Maestro Fresh West and Cardinal Official.
Is there such a thing as a Newfie rapper?
As a Nashville Newfie rapper,
probably.
Because Newfoundland language is kind of like rapping.
Yeah,
and for a taste of what Cardinal Official is all about, go get the fucking mixtape Kill Blood Clot Bill.
Ed, you write that.
I love it. I love it so much. All right. All right. Fuck that. We're done.
Okay.
what we got coming up?
As Pat and I guess Liam just kind of like let the cat out of the bag a bit. Today we are starting our Resident Evil Revelations 2 co-op playthrough.
Revelations.
Actually, we need to go back and correct that.
No, fuck you.
Because it gets fucking. It's the wrong title. It'll get lost when
I spent so much time misspelling the title of the game.
I will go back and fix your mistake. I appreciate the effort,
guys. The joke is: here's how you do it and not fuck up the search. Wow. You make the title of the videos correct, but you make the picture in the video wrong.
Yeah, but no, but the
no, picture, it's too late now.
The picture
now.
In the videos. Baked in, and plus it was the logo of the game.
Fine. I'll change it, but let everybody know that I spent the time to intentionally misspell the word Revelations every single time in all of the descriptions and titles of these videos.
The descriptions, fine. They can stay the same, but it's just the titles that if people actually want to search for it, it might make it a little tough.
Just bake it in. Bake it in.
That's tough. Fine, I'll fucking fix it.
Okay. We got mystery boxes coming.
Yeah, probably at least 1 week. Another Bonathon this week.
Another Bonathon.
The Return. Anything else? No, this is the second episode.
No, but I know, but I mean, like, it has returned.
Yeah, it has returned. There's something else, I think. No? What else is starting? Mad World continuing.
Yep, that kicked off.
And I was telling some people on Something Awful. Everyone's like, oh, man, this is like, you guys don't want to play this game at all. I was like, well, yeah,
welcome to the channel.
Like, it's been like 5 years, but once we start the second thing and go, Wooly finds weapon combos I never saw, and it gets
the best weapon combo in the game is tire than like nine lampposts.
No, he finds like a launcher with daggers and does air combos with it. I even know it was in the game.
Oh, okay.
It was fucking sick. I think that's about it.
As far as the watch goes,
what am I watching? What's coming out this week? Nothing, right?
I bought 2 days ago Kirby and the Rainbow Curse, so nice. I'm gonna try to get a lazy day to play that.
I want to hear like the Kirby versus the Order discussion.
It's an overall better game than
of course
the
Order. It is.
It looks better.
Of course it does.
we'll pop some more time into Undernight. That fucking game is so good. And of course, since I'm like, I think it's because I'm playing in the like with the anime crew and stuff like that, and we're playing Undernight and playing
more.
I'm hanging with the anime crew, so like I'm getting into some of the.
I love
stuff.
That concept, and I never want to meet anyone in it because I want my concept to just live.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm playing at the anime games crew. That is, you know, mind you.
No,
and. So beyond those games, I'm starting to get into other, like, some of the random shit they do to kill time. So, one, we popped in Windjammers, Breaker's Revenge, fucking Fighter's History, and we're just doing that for a while. And now, apparently, a thing is Mahjong. So I'm learning how to play Mahjong now.
What are you, fucking 85-year-old Chinese grandmother?
Apparently, the mind games are really fun when you get into it.
Okay.
But I'm going to see. But, like, I'm just recognizing the tiles and shit. I'm like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
I'm going to try and figure it out, you guys.
I'm going to try and beat Baldur's Gate and its expansion by March 26th.
You better.
Which means I have another, like, 60 hours to... I don't know. This game... I don't know how long this game's supposed to be. I'm using speed boots to make myself go faster. And how long to beat says it's like 80 hours, but I already spent 60, and I'm nowhere near the end of the game, even with the speed boots. I don't know. I don't know how long the expansion is. I gotta beat it before Eternity comes out.
That's why you gotta.
It's like a direct sequel.
Yeah.
And I'll just say that we got a two-part week coming. And it's not Week of Wooly, so stop it.
But it should be.
That's not going to stop until you do it, Willie.
Well, I don't have control over that, unfortunately.
We'll just get the list and then fucking do it without you.
That'd be amazing.
That would be pretty good, actually.
You just say, well, good decision here.
You thought that the dialogue in Murdered Soul Suspects
was
damning.
Yeah,
oh, man.
Yeah.
You didn't even touch that.
Oh,
not really.
Oh, fuck.
So, you know, gentlemen, I guess we truly are the bio freaks.
We truly are the bio... Fuck, I thought I knew the freaks word, but I lost it.
They couldn't even figure it out. They figured it out way later.
Flying robotic enhanced...
Armored killing synthoids.
Armored killing synthoids.
Yeah,
that's it. That's it.
Pour one out for Mutilator.
No.
Pour one out for Max.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That fucking shit where he goes into the water and the whole world above the water just disappears. Yeah, that's the worst.
It's like, hey, Max, try first person mode. No!
I kept trying to trick him into doing that. Yeah. It would make the game way harder.
No, he didn't go, he's more into, why would I try first person mode? What would that accomplish?
Well,
I kept masking it like it was a mutilation move.
The idea is that, like, he'd get into the first person mode, but, like, somehow not be able to get back out.
It's a different button prompt to get out of. It would have been tough.
It would have sabotaged the entire night.
It would have been great.
And then, like, he dies, and you go back to character select, and it's still in first person. That'd be awesome. Can't escape.
It might have helped the final battle, though. Who knows?
Maybe.
We're sorry, Max.
Yeah, they're all good sports. Say hi to Avril for us.